Okay, welcome everybody to the National Liberty Alliance conference call. Today is, what's the date today? It's May 5th, 2014. And I'd like to start off with reading something that President Kennedy said. It really ties into where we are today. And then I'd like to share a biblical story. It's probably about 14 verses, but I think, again, it identifies where we are today and what is possible, in my humble opinion. President Kennedy said, "A revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can affect its character. We cannot alter its inevitability." Before giving his life for the revolution we face today, he went on to say, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. It is at this precipice that we now stand today. It is for this purpose we are here today, and we resolutely set our face. And by the grace of God, we will succeed today." That was pretty prophetic that President Kennedy said these things. He knew, anybody who's looked into his life and beyond the BS out there, he clearly knew what was going on and did his best to try to thwart it, and he lost his life for that. Let me share this Bible story. You know, we pray that that we could make this a peaceful revolution. We must succeed at what we're doing. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a mess out there. In 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 through 22, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place." And by that, by the way, that was his name, Elisha, the man of God. "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of, and saving himself there, not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchambers." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? What shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when it came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he, the Lord, smote them with blindness, according to the words of Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them, Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Now, I read the story tonight because, you know, we don't have a snowball's chance in hell, so to speak, of really succeeding at what we're doing without the grace of God. Only if the Lord will blind these people to prevent them. And at this point, at least up until now, I think that he has blinded them. I pray that this is his will, that we'd succeed at what we're doing. But again, only by his help and his will will we be able to survive and do the things we are doing. Now, we've got to move forward. We don't have much time. There are still a lot of counties that need to be brought into play. We have to get these grand juries, elected, for lack of a better word, in each county. You know, the will of the people, by doing this election, by the showing of the hands, in order to constitute the common law grand juries in the counties. And I know we got about four more states that should be coming on board probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks. At least I've been told that some people think they're going to be able to accomplish that in the next couple of weeks. So we got some states, about four more coming on. We've got 10 already done, so that brings us to 14. You know, if we get 16 states on board, that brings us to about one-third of the nation. We need to get to that tipping point, that 26. So, you know, everybody needs to look online and see once whether their counties have been constituted or not. And if they haven't, they need to get going. We also, you know, we do get a lot of people that come to our meetings. We have usually on the phone lines come in about 300 people throughout the evening on a Monday night, maybe 330, somewhere around there. And I see there's about 127 people that actually go into the chat room. At least right now, we've got 127 people in the chat room. And in the next week or two, depending on money flow, I wouldn't say next Monday, but it's possible next Monday. But I think I could say most definitely by the Monday after, we will be streaming live off of our website so that people won't have to call in to listen. They'll just go onto the page, and at 9 o'clock or whatever time we set it for, you know, the program will start and you'll be able to hear the program. Of course, if anyone wants to ask a question, the phone number will be out there and you'll be able to ask the question. We're expecting some money in this week, and so we're going to start upgrading the website. We're going to put more security up there. We're going to, of course, as I said, do this thing with the streaming. We're also going to start preparing to facilitate for 7 other countries. We also are working on testing all people who want to become an administrator for their counties. Will need to sign up on the website as an administrator for a course. It's 120, right now it's about, we figure it's about, 120-hour course. And some people could do it an hour a day, 2 hours a day, maybe 3 or 4 on a weekend, or whatever they figure it out. But people need to go through this course. And as you move from it's mostly audio and video, and you'll also get the reading material in most cases with it. And then at the end of every half hour, hour segment, whatever, we work it out. We got about, I think we have 6 people working on this right now, preparing this course. And we're going to have about 6 subjects, common law, American history, history of the grand jury, the Constitution, and so on. There's quite a few. I think we have 6 subject matters altogether. But once you go through a section of this, people will be asked a question, and you'll have the 5 questions, 4 questions, you know, probably, you know, a few questions. And you'll have to get them all right to pass on to the next step. So if you get, let's say you got five questions and you get three right, and you get two wrong, well, right there is a tape you can review back and find the answers and then fill in the proper answers and then move to the next step. I believe through osmosis alone, you will learn quite a bit. And then, of course, for me, pretty much everything that was sitting up there, I went through these things numerous times. And I went back and back and back on some of these things quite a few times. And in order to really understand and puzzle together what I have puzzled together. So anyway, this is what everyone is going to have to do. This will get rid of the slackers, and for lack of a better word. There are some people who think that they want to become administrators, but I don't know. There are people that I don't think are really pushing forward to learn. I'm listening to what people are doing in different areas, and they're making some huge mistakes, and we try to make the correction as often as possible. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But we have to, it's wrong for us to set this up and get ourselves into positions of power and authority and be ignorant. That's a wrongdoing. We have a job to do, and it's a serious job, and we have to know what we're doing. And of course, we could do a lot better job than they're doing, of course, because they're not doing a job for us at all. And so we're all on the job training. But over the course of time, we need to really educate ourselves. And we must prove to each other that we're doing this. Each person in the county, you get four people in each county, and it's the duty of those four people to make sure that all the people that come for that position have gone through this course. And we will post a page. It'll be like a questionnaire. We'll set it up sort of like people will come on and sign up for the course. And when you sign up the course, you'll be asked if you want to be an administrator or not. I mean, people will take the courses without wanting to be an administrator. And God bless them. They should. Everybody should, because we need to re-educate ourselves. But the administrators have to do this. And so you'll go up and you'll sign up, and if you check the box, okay, sign up, you're going to be an administrator, well, then your name, okay, will appear on a page somewhere of administrators in your state and in your county. And next to your name will be a percentage. It might be 1%, 20%, 50%, 80%, whatever it is. And that's how much of the course you have completed. Obviously, if you get through the 100%, then you've gone through the 120 hours. I think we figured the whole course is going to be about 600 questions that you'll be asked through the whole process. And this will prove to everybody and to yourself that you did what had to be done to get through the process. And those who will excel even greater than that will no doubt go back and continue these courses over and over, all on their own. They'll go back and listen to certain tapes. They'll be taking certain notes and try to puzzle things together. And, some people will do that. And those will be the people that will really excel. And in every state, we will need a couple of people that can advise others, that would be available, that have the higher knowledge. And they will just, like the cream that comes to the top, they will come to the top and be seen and known and realized. Because we always do need someone who's expert in it, and everybody can't be expert in this. So they will rise. But some of the problems we have, and I'd like to start off with Thomas Jefferson, if people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Forget about it. We can't succeed. If we think we could do this without God, forget about it. Can't happen. You're not going to succeed. Our founding fathers knew that. I know I've mentioned this a few times. That's why they wrote the purpose of the federal government to secure the blessings of liberty. Liberty is a blessing. This is not something that we achieve through some kind of an intellectualism or some kind of a desire and we grab onto it. Liberty is given and held and maintained as long as you're under the blessings of God. America has lost that blessing. America has lost her way. And that's why we're losing our liberty. And we, the people, must come back and with a bent knee. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That was 2 Corinthians 3:17. In James 1:5, we read, Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the blessings of liberty. Again, You can't have it. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said that we will serve either God or tyrants. Those are the two choices. He didn't give a third because there is none. Either we're going to serve men or we're going to serve God. And in our country, the way that our founding fathers set it up is in such a way that we will serve God. We will serve righteousness, justice, liberty. That's what we will serve. We have spent here at National Liberty Alliance years of research and studies. There are people among us, they think that they can wing this without re-educating themselves. A lot of people have been poisoned. They believe that they've got the truth. They believe the lie. I have been to many, many sites over the years looking for truth and gathering information, and others have too. And we put together National Liberty Alliance trying to find all the truth. We did the research. We didn't just study. We did the research. And so we know we have the truth on our website. We know we have the procedure. We know we have the process, and we know we have the right way to do it. And a lot of people have tried this, not on the level that we're trying it, because we're going out for every county, not just the one county that we live in. We're going out for every county. Most of them never thought about, well, maybe we should get a seat in the courthouse somehow. You know, they missed that part in United States versus Williams. We have to get a seat in the courthouse. Until you get into seat in the courthouse, you can't make no decision. And that's another mistake people are making. People seem to think that they can go to the back room of Denny's or something and run a grand jury and indict people. What are they thinking? What is on their minds? You can't do that. And the reason why they think they can do that is because they're not here at Monday night meetings. They're not reading the website. They're getting the idea, they read the front page, they see the video, and then they're running and taking a position, and they're not doing their own work. And they're not only going to get themselves in trouble, they're going to get anyone else that's following along with them in trouble. We need to see who they are, and we need to reel them back in. You know, we need to bring them back, bring them to the Monday night meeting, bring them to your week. Every state should have a weekly meeting, even if it's only for a half hour. That's all you need. You're just organizing, getting to know each other. That's all it is. For right now, that's all your weekly meeting should be, you know, for your state. And if you want to get an another meeting going where people come for educating together, whatever you do, that's great too. But it shouldn't, you know, the main meeting for the week, again, shouldn't be too long. And it's for the purpose of, you know, people getting to know each other, making some plans, trying to work on what area of the state they're working on first, who can get some people in this county, anybody know people in that county, organizing and bringing people together. That's the purpose we need to be doing for every week. Here on Monday nights, we try to update. We try to teach something, try to update. And we do an open forum. We try to answer questions. We do the best we can. We're not perfect at it, but we're doing it. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where people are going to learn. So anybody that is in this, and they're not coming to the Monday night meetings, and they're not coming to the website and studying, they're not getting, because we're going to set up, we're going to know who they are, who's studying soon. Once we get these courses up, we're going to know who's really serious about all this, taking these positions. And let me tell you, the four people in those county, it is your job, it is your duty for the people, the main people in the county to realize and say, wait a second, you got six people here and they all want this position, but only three of them are doing the course. These other three, hey, forget about it. You get into the course. You know, you got a guy that's or a woman that's got 80% done, and you got someone else that's 30%, and there's only one position left. Well, who's going to get it? The person with the 80%. They're the go-getter. They're the one that's taking it serious. Everybody needs to get serious about this. They need to learn. There's no magic wand. We wave, we get into position, and everything's fixed. It is a magic bullet, and it can happen very quickly, exactly what we're doing, but only if we're educated. And if we're not educated in this process, we're going to blow it. So we have to get educated. Anybody who's teaching another process other than we're teaching, they need to conform or leave us. And I want to say that bluntly and dead seriously. We've had numerous people across the nation They bring in these strange ideas that they never research. I've already looked at these things, and they don't want to hear it. I'm wrong. They're right. And they haven't researched. I know I'm right because I researched it. And it doesn't fit in to what we know is truth. You know? If you want to go play in their sandbox, and you want to go get rid of your driver's license, you want to get rid of your Social Security card and your birth certificate, and you want to rescind this and rescind that, well, fine, go do that. Don't teach anyone else in National Liberty Alliance to do that. Don't tell people in National Liberty Alliance they need to do that, because that's not what we teach. We don't teach. That's not where the battle is. We don't play in their sandbox. All you're doing is conforming and consenting to them. You're playing in their sandbox. Why? Why are we bothering? I can have that license in my pocket, still walk into court and win a case. I got my vote. I'm running for committee man. I just got the call today. I forgot all about it. You know, committee man system is up and running now for most of the states. Well, all the states. I don't know. Some people do it earlier in the spring, and some states do it a little later. For New York, it happens in June and July. And I got the call. I got to run for that. Well, I can't run for that if I'm not a registered voter in one of the two major parties. I can't run for that position. We spent a lot of time rewriting the party rules for both parties here in New York. And we documented that process. And when we come into power, we're going to put those party rules in play, which will secure the freedom and liberty of every person that becomes a committeeman. It gets rid of the kings in the committee process. It gets rid of the leaders, those guys who think they know what's going on. They got to tell everybody else what to do and who to vote for. No. That's not the way it works. Anyway, here in New York, we intend on taking that back right after we get into the courts. So this is going to go right on the heels of the courts. We're going to get through these court systems. We're going to talk about that soon, where we're at, and some exciting things that's going on there, in my opinion. But, we're in New York. We're going to be positioned to take both back, not only the judicial process, the political process, the process on who is going to run for office. We're going to decide. We, the people, are going to decide who is going to run for office. We're not going to leave that up to a couple of party leaders, because that's how it's been working, and that's why we have nothing but criminals there, because it's all a payoff. They're getting deals, you know. Now, there's only a few of us that are running, and that's all it takes. A few of us can then go out and anoint, so to speak, thousands of people. We can take all of the Liberty people, bring them right in, and put them in. You want to choose who's going to run for office? Hey, right here. Come on, right here. We'll give you the power. We can give them the power. Okay, and then the next year they can run for the position and get elected, but we can anoint them the power. Okay, this is a powerful thing. So people need to be looking into the committeeman thing in your states. You need to be looking at on the political page that we have going. Watch that video there to see the game that they played there and how they robbed that whole process. And maybe we'll talk about that in the coming weeks so we can prepare. But it's something we have to do. So there are some people who would be king about us. They want to lead us. They want to tell us what to do. People are not getting the message in some places. You know, of course, the people coming to this meeting, you're getting the message. But the people who are not coming here are not getting the message. They're not getting it. I hear of people that are electing secretaries. They're electing grand jurists, and they're taking seats, and they're going to be the king and the queen. And look, it's not what it is. We're administrators. We will be as evil as them if we think we're going to become the grand jury and sit there forever. If we're going to be there for months or years, we're as evil as them. That's not the way the grand jury, that's not the way the trial jury works. It's a pool of people you bring together for a week or two, and then they go home. And we bring another together, and they go home. And they bring another together, and you go home. We are not, there's some groups that have been here for 3 years sitting on this thing, and they're outside of the court, so they don't have any authority, any power. They're not getting anything done, and they're not going to get anything done. They're going to be ignored. They're trying to ignore us, but they can't. They may have kept us out for right now, but they are frightened to death. There's no doubt about it. We're going to talk about that shortly, like I said. Okay, so these people, they have to either conform to our process or leave. We've heard of people who've come into our system, and they're collecting people, and they're going off on their own little thing. Those people have to leave. And the people they're leading astray don't know, because they're not here at the Monday night meeting. They're not hearing what we're talking about. They don't know. And they don't know that we're all about a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. That's the principles we operate by. They don't know that they're administrators. They're not, you know, eternal jurists. They don't know. So if people don't like the process we've researched and executed and started, they can go out and start their own group, but don't rob the people from us. Don't be dishonorable and come in here and rob people and take them away, and the people don't know what they're even getting into. Stop, and then don't poison them, because you're poisoning them. You're going to get them in trouble. There's groups out there, I'm telling you, they've got this shadow government going on. And I think, in my opinion, from looking out and seeing and hearing and talking and figuring out what's going on, this whole thing's related. Okay, this is the enemy coming in, and ultimately, you know, all the way deep down in this thing, they're the ones that is creating this shadow government, because that's treason against the United States, and you can be arrested for that, and they can execute you for that. You got to stay away from that. And when you get involved with these other things, there's a connection. Believe me, I'm talking to a lot of people, and I'm telling you there's a connection. So you don't want to be on that list. You want to stay away from these people. It's not what we're doing. We're using the process that our founding fathers put in place and is still in place. Right now, it is still there. It's still, we can still have access to it. So you can't anoint yourself as an indefinite jurist. That's just a wrongdoing, and we get just as bad as them. Okay, state coordinators. Look, it's your job. One of the jobs of the state coordinators, you need to get a meeting. You're not the king. You need to get a meeting going in your state on the telephone. Use what we use, conference call, free conference call HD. Great program. This program is the best we've ever had. It's free. You'll see it on the right side of our website. Click on it and just sign up and use it, okay? Get a meeting once a week with your state, with all the county organizers. Get them to know each other. Get them organized. If there's a problem person, you come together and one or two people, you try to reason with the person. If you can't reason with them, then you come together and make a decision what you have to do. We have to get rid of people who are obnoxious, from any way of holding a position. We've got to get rid of people who are subverting what we're doing. You know, you have to do it. Don't come to me to ask me to do it. I'm not a dictator. I'm not the leader in that way. You know, my leading time is just for a short period of time, and everybody has to get their wings and fly on their own at some point. You know, you have to take care of your own business in your own county. Your state coordinator is not your leader either. You are your own leader. The three or four people, the four people in each county that are going to become the administrators, you have to work out the problems yourself right there in that room and whatever you're doing. That's where the rubber meets the road. But without an education, without communications, you're not going to be able to do that job. We have to organize county to county that brings the whole state together, and state to state, which brings the whole nation together. Therein is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, to facilitate and educate, period, end of subject, nothing more. We don't give anybody marching orders, but we're telling you the truth and how to do it and what the process is, and that's the only road. That's the road to success. The state organizers, again, you have to get your people together, and you need to tell if you know five or six or eight or 10 or 30 county organizers, or 80 or 100 county organizers, and they're not at this meeting, what the hell are they doing? If they're going to be an organizer, they need to be at this meeting every Monday night. It's the state organizer coordinator's job. I spoke to someone recently, didn't even know about the Monday night calls. I mean, it's on the website. They missed it, I guess, but no one told them. That's the state coordinator's job. Why didn't and that state had a state coordinator? How come they didn't know it? I'm not going to tell you what state it is, but how come the people in your state did not know that there's a Monday night meeting a place where they get their questions answered. They're calling me up because they wanted to know some things. They weren't getting answers from other people, right, or enough or whatever. And they called me up. I said, come to the Monday night meeting. What Monday night meeting? How long you been with us? You been with us a month and a half? And you don't know about the Monday night meeting? It's not their fault. Well, maybe some of it is because we do send down emails, and it is on the website. Maybe people aren't reading. Maybe not spending enough time on the website. State leaders, it's your job. States that aren't going anywhere, go try to find your state leader, and now you'll find out why you're not going anywhere. Because if you don't have, not a state leader, a state coordinator. If you don't have a state coordinator, you're not going anywhere. No state I have noticed since we started this starts to move until you have a state coordinator. Because once the state coordinator comes in and they read what the requirement, what the job of the state coordinator is, and they start to make a meeting during the week, and they start to get things going, and they start to push people to get the elections, and then they get people together, they call people in that county, they work with this organizer there, see if you guys can get together, and try to do three or four counties at a time, and let's try, you see, all of a sudden there's excitement, there's movement, there's action. And then what happens? People on the outside see the excitement, and they come in and they see, they come to the election, and then they become party. You pick up one here and one there. And before you know it, a state that had 10 people or 20 people, all of a sudden you had 150, 180, 200. Why? Because the activity started. Until then, we're lumps on a log. We don't have no more time. We don't have the time. You know, I'm here in July. July is it. July is when they're going to pull the plug. I have no clue. I really don't know. I do believe they're pulling it this year, and I do believe they're pulling it this summer. Maybe the end of the summer, maybe the beginning of the summer, maybe the, I don't know. Maybe they won't be able to do it till the fall. I don't know. So what are we going to sit around and if we think we have till the fall, we'll wait all summer and then we'll get busy at the end? No, you got to do it now. Forget your summer. You don't have time for your summer unless you want it to be your last summer. So we have to get moving. So you don't have a state coordinator. If you go up to look for a state coordinator and you don't have one, well, maybe you should become one, even if it's for a while till you get another state coordinator. Even if you only do 10% of the work, 10% of the work is better than no percent of the work. And then you get another coordinator who could do 40% of the work and another one who could do the other 15 or 20% of the work. Next thing you know, you get no work done. Get three, get four, get as many as you want. Doesn't matter. But get the job done. No state coordinator. No movement in the state. Your state is not moving. It's stagnant. It's dead. You're not working. You're not getting what we need to get done. You're not only hurting your own county, you're hurting your own state. And you're not only hurting the state, you're hurting the other 49 states. You're hurting all of us. You everybody that's come to the National Liberty Alliance and has signed up, they know the solution to the problem. There has been no solution to the problem. We all know that. We've been driving ourselves crazy, knocking our heads up against the wall, trying to figure out how can we bring this country back to a republic? How can we get rid of all of these tyrants? How can we turn things around? And until you came to National Liberty Alliance, you knew there was no answer. Because we've tried it all, especially those who have been in the Liberty groups for a while. We tried it all. We tried getting good people elected. It doesn't work. The ballot box is not the answer. You can't go beg these pirates to do the right thing. You think the pirates are going to do the right thing? They're not going to listen. They'll say everything you want when it's time to vote for them, and then they're gone for the next 2 to 4 to 6 years, whatever their term is for. So, anyway, let me move on to the update of where we're at. We got some paper. We filed some more papers this past week. The papers were returned to us. The same judge. We sued him. We brought him right into the whole thing. We even did a writ of error with him, and then we did a I forget what the name of the other thing. Hang on a second. I know I got it here somewhere. We did a writ of error. We rescinded his decision. He thought he could make a decision. He didn't read the paperwork at all, because if he did, he would have read the writ of prohibition. We said that he was fraud upon the court, and we took him off the bench. But this tyrant, totally ignoring everything, just going right ahead, doing what he wants to do. And we went to the sheriff. dumb as a box of rocks, unfortunately. Nice guy, maybe. But dumb as a box of rocks. And we decided, well, let's reset the papers back into the court, and let's do it through the sheriff and send it back through the county, and then call back and get make sure we get another judge as soon as the paper is in play. Well, the sheriff refused to take the papers. Okay. By the way, we haven't called him yet, Gerard. We got to call this guy. He refused to take the papers. He has a duty to serve papers. He can't pick and choose what papers he's going to serve. And these are court papers. And we're going to go down and pay him a visit. I got to head up soon to drop the papers off at another court. And when I do that, I think we'll stop and see this sheriff, because he needs to know that he broke the law. I'm wondering if he wants to be added to the list. But anyway, we then took it down to the clerk personally, and the clerk called the county attorney, who clearly was in conversation with the judge, who was clearly his partner in sending these papers back very quickly, which is a new set of papers we had set in. And now we were trying to bring them back into play and also add some more papers. And so the clerk, the county clerk, deferred us to the county attorney. The county attorney came down to the county clerk's office and said they're not going to take it. I don't know, Gerard, if you got any more specific about that, or if Tony's here wants more specific, maybe you can give us more information. But basically, they refused it, and they said the county attorney said we have to appeal it, right?
Right, that's what she said. That you have to appeal it. They don't understand that this is not a suit, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, we put it clearly in the papers that let me see if I can read this exactly what we put in here. Right in the front, after the writ of error, right in the very front. I got way too many papers. Okay, throw it upon the court. Right here, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court directly. We do not. The United States Supreme Court has ruled, and the Constitution is clear anyway. But the United States Supreme Court has ruled that a court of record does not have to appeal. If they have a problem in another court, they sue the court directly. They're open to collateral damage. And that's what we did. We put collateral damage upon them when we put down fraud upon the court, and we went in and added the attorney and the judge that got together that put this conspiracy together and jumped into the main conspiracy with the others. So anyway, we were thinking, I've been dreaming on this and figuring out some papers with others, and we're trying to figure, and then we come to realize it's time for the feds. We're looking through all this paperwork. Wow, we have so much, so many letters. I mean, these people just put evidence all over the place. And so we're writing papers for the federal court. I was hoping to get it done over the weekend, and we ran into overtime on it. And even today, it's not done. Hopefully tomorrow we'll get it done and maybe file it on Wednesday. With the federal courts, we have to give 20 days. We could do it in less time, but we're going to give them the full 20 days because I don't want them to play any games and give them any reasons to think that they can get us out. Now, let me just look at a calendar here real quick. So the 12th is off, so everybody knows the 12th is off, and I'll send out an email today, tonight or tomorrow about that. 12th is off. We're not going to be in court on the 12th. We're now heading to the federal court in Albany, and if we file it on Wednesday the 7th, we have to give at least 2 days' grace because we're going to do this through the mail. 7th, 8th, 9th, we'll look at from the 9th, okay? And the 9th, we need 7, 14, 21. So I would think we can probably set somewhere around the 29th, which is a Thursday. I was told on the federal courts, don't go for a Monday and don't go for a Friday. They're super busy. So we need to go Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But I think the 29th is going to be the next focus of our date. I'll have to run the numbers and check it, and it depends on me getting the paperwork together and done and getting it up to the court by Wednesday to be able to say the 29th will be it. As soon as I know a date, we will get an email out, And as soon as I know it, and we will talk about it on Monday, I am very confident, extremely confident, you know, not 100% because you never know what's going to happen, but I'm extremely confident that this date is not going to be moved. You know, the state courts, I'm surprised they played some of the games. I was hoping they wouldn't, but we always knew that they could, and they did. You know, look, they know that their ship is sunk. Now, we go into the federal courts. The federal courts, the thing about the federal courts is they know the whole game. They know both games. And they're going to look for a way to throw us out. There's no doubt about it, okay? So we have to really, that's why we're taking our time with this paperwork, and we're coming in from every single angle. We're sharing it with different people to give their views and making sure our paperwork is kind of bulletproof. We don't want any chink in our armor where they can really wedge themselves in. And I think the paperwork's coming along pretty good where that is the case, and I believe it's going to end up that it's going to be the case. It's going to be rock solid. And he's not going to be able to, the judge, I mean, who is now going to be the magistrate, is not going to find any way to get out of this. So, you know, we go into the court, you know, if he can't get rid of it, he has no choice but to go forward with it and give us what needs to be given. And that we'll discuss in more detail next Monday. But once the papers are all written, we'll read them, at least the main paper that brings us into the federal court. We will read that and discuss that a little bit and show some points. I don't believe he'll be able to find any chink in the armor if we're very careful, and therefore he has no choice. He can't do the illegal thing. These are not like the state judges. First of all, the state judges, they really think they're bulletproof. They think that they got total, you know, they can get away with anything. They do believe they're above the law. And he thinks nothing's going to happen to him. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. And they're going to find out that they're going to have to pay the toll here. And, you know, they didn't have to. They didn't have to go to jail. But they're going to go to jail. They're all going to jail, every single one of them. All the judges are going to jail. I can't see that they don't go for at least 20 years or more. And it's really not up to me to decide that, of course. That's going to be up to the trial jury. They're going to have to look at all the information and listen to these people and listen to this. It's a trial. They're going to go to trial. And then the trial jury is going to decide whatever they decide with a sense of honor, with a sense of mercy, in the sense of justice. They're going to make a decision. But I see them all facing an easy 20 years in jail. They need to know what that feels like, maybe, because they sent enough people there, and they really don't care. They have no empathy. They don't care about people. You know, I'm concerned about them, and they have no empathy. They're the enemy. They're evil, and I'm still concerned about them. Nevertheless, justice must be met. And we can't permit innocent people to be injured by tyrants and by evil people. So we have to bind them down by the change of the Constitution and bind them down by literal change in a prison, if that's what it takes to stop them from injuring people. Anyway, we're not going to discuss their future. That's not our business to discuss. They'll have to meet justice, and justice will be figured out, like I said, by the jury. We're going into the federal court. I feel pretty strong about the papers at this point, how they're coming about. I kind of, and there are some things that we're going to write in this thing that we never thought of until just the past day or two. That, wow. So it's like the timing is perfect and we're going into the federal court. I don't want to go back into the state court because we're just going to reround the same thing over and over again. You know, we've reached our limit there, and we don't have no more time to play. But we were there long enough, like I said, to get enough information. We clearly show the conspiracy against the people to prevent them from becoming, you know, taking what is rightfully theirs, the authority to control their own government, the government by the consent of the people. So anyway, we think that this is going to work out well. So the federal judges, they're going to see how we just kept adding everybody onto the game. And they're going to know we're going to add them onto the game. Anybody who gets in the way, we're going to indict them, you know, to give them a true bill. We're going to discuss that first with the grand jury. They got to prove that. But I'm sure that So far it's been unanimous in everything we've done. And everybody realizes we have to take down anyone who tries to stop us. We have to take them down. We don't have a choice. We can try to tell them and convince them they shouldn't do this because we're going to do this, but they'll do it anyway. See, the feds are going to know. They're going to see. And then they're going to have to judge the fact, well, okay, if I do the wrong thing and I just rule against these people, would know they have nothing, absolutely nothing. And I don't believe that these people are going to answer anything. And so they have nothing. They're going to try to move motions to dismiss, and we made that clear. You can't do that. That doesn't work in common law. And these federal judges understand that. It doesn't work in common law. And so they have nothing. So the judge is going to look at this and say, well, they have nothing. I can't rule for them because they have nothing, because if I rule for them, these guys are going to indict me. Absolutely. They better know that, because we are. And so the next thing is well, also, if I rule against these people, I don't know, we got a couple of shots above them to go to their bosses. Not that we're appealing it, but we're telling them through a mandamus, tell your court down below you to obey the law. This is an order from the people. And they don't know how that's going to go. And they don't know if it'll make it up to the high Supreme Court, to Scalia's bench there. And certainly we're coming in with Scalia's stuff, and that's got to rock their boat. They understand federal code. They understand the federal codes. And they understand that the Constitution is the rule in a common law. They know the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Subsection 2, Clause 2. They know that. That every judge must obey. They know that. And we're speaking straight through code, and that's how we speak in our papers. We speak through codes and Supreme Court rulings and founding fathers and authorities in common law and in juries, in the grand jury, and so on. The common law jury and everything. So on. So this is the next step, and I believe this is the one that's going to break us through. This is the one where we, the people, need to stand up. Now, again, I will know by next Monday, absolutely sure, rock solid, the date works, because I will call, once we file the papers, I will call up the court maybe at the end of the week or Monday morning, make sure all is well and in place, make sure that we know who the judge is that's going to be the magistrate for our session. And once we have that, then we know that that's a rock solid date. So it's going to be in Albany. It's going to be somewhere around the 29th or the 30th. And it's going to be the 30th. The 30th is a Friday. But it's going to be the end of this month, around the 29th. And like I said, it's going to be in Albany. And we need everybody that could possibly make it there. We're not asking people to travel across the country. I won't stop people from traveling across the country. God bless them, because I'm that kind of guy. I would do that. But, a lot of people can't do that. They can't afford it. They don't have the time or whatever. But, the key thing is everybody in New York. I don't care how far you got to travel in New York. That's not too far. You need to be at this court case. Everybody in Jersey. I don't care how far you got to travel. You need to be at this court case. Everybody in Connecticut. I don't care how far you got to travel. You got to be at this court case. It doesn't matter. Okay? Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, I mentioned Jersey, Pennsylvania. You got to be at this court case, okay? Some of these people may have to travel 6 hours or 5 hours to get to Albany. You got to be there. I travel 6 hours all the time. Every time I go to the other end of the state, I travel 6 hours. I can't tell you how many times I've driven across the state over the past 6 years. I have no clue, but many, 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 many times. I'm sure dozens of times. We've driven across the state. We've driven down all the way down into Long Island, all the way at the end of Long Island. We've gone, we went up to New Hampshire. We went to Massachusetts. And, well, we didn't go to Massachusetts. Well, we've been through Massachusetts. Went to Rhode Island. Went to Connecticut. We've gone all over the place. And not just myself, a whole bunch of us, to do the job that we have to do. So everyone can do this once. I know people have to work. I know times are hard, and every day counts. That's the sacrifice you have to make. We must win this case. We must fill that building up. We must, be pouring out the doors downstairs. We have to totally freeze up that building with people. We need hundreds and hundreds of people at this court case. That's what's going to really win this case. That's going to put the fear. You see, when a judge knows, especially a federal judge who's a thinker and a reader, okay, that's the difference between state and federal. Federal judges are thinkers and readers, and they see the people, they know that the jig's up. That's it. They got to do something. So they will respond correctly. Two more things before we open up the phones. We started a campaign on the jurist books, jury pocket handbooks. We're about halfway to the numbers we need in order to get enough jury books to actually place the order. We do have some money coming in this week. We're pretty darn sure of that now. And so we're going to take some of that money, and no matter where we are on this coming, by the end of the week, whatever we are, we're going to put the extra money in there and order enough books so we can get it at the right price so we're selling it for the 65 cents or the 60 or the 55 cents per booklet. By the 100. So 100 booklets is $65 flat fee, period. That includes shipping, handling, everything. $65 per 100 booklets. If you order 1,000, I think it's down to 55 cents a piece, whatever that mathematic works out to be. So, you know, 5, 6, or 8 people can get together and order 1,000. You get delivered to one place, and then you can break it up. And you can all save an extra 10 cents per book from 65 to 55. Or you can order 500, and I think it's 5 cents. A book you save. But we should be able to actually place the order at the end of the week and get that moving. I don't know how long it's going to take to get through production. I'm presuming a week to go through production and get delivered back to us, and then we'll ship it out from here. So I'm sure it's at least 2 weeks away before delivery is going to take place. But this is our most important campaign. Let me say it again. I say it all the time, been saying this for years when I come to realize this. It's what Jefferson said. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Okay? You can't have liberty with ignorance. You can't have it. I'm sorry, you just can't have it. You also can't have it without the blessing. So those are the two main things we need. We need to get the blessing, and we need to get the knowledge. We can't be ignorant. If we expect to get the people on board here, we have to take away their ignorance. If we want to turn these boxes of rocks into people that understand what's going on, we've got to get some jurist handbooks into their hands. If they saw what the law really was, it'll blow their minds, and they'll know it's truth. Anybody who reads it knows it's truth. It's the Declaration of Independence. It's the Bill of Rights. It's the Constitution. It's the Holy Bible. It's logical. It's common law. It's obvious. It's our founding fathers. They know. They read it. They see it. They can't help. And when you put it in a little booklet form, and it's a nice, pretty booklet, and it sticks into your pocket, it's very official looking. Look at the people believe what's in writing is truth, even if it's a lie. In our case, we've got truth. And truth, once you see it, is realized. You might ignore it because it may not benefit you to have that truth. That truth may stifle whatever you're doing in life. But nevertheless, you know it's truth. Everybody knows it's truth once they look at it and see it. And they compare it to what they've been looking at, they're going to say that what they've been looking at is the lie. So that's the campaign we're on. It is a campaign of education. And the best education we can do is these little booklets that people stick in their top pockets, their little pockets on their shirts. And the sheriff should have them. The deputy should have them. All the judges should have them. The clerk should have them. Anybody who takes an oath should have them. The liberty people should have them. You should have them. We need them. So people need to get up some money and get out there. If everybody went out and bought 100 of them, that's $65 for 100 delivered, okay? Save for 2 or 3 weeks if you have to. Get up to $65. Put $5 a week away till you can get to it. Just get it done and participate in your county to see your sheriff, to see your deputy. Get together with other people in your county that's working this together, so you're not giving them too many, you know. But if you go see the sheriff, hey, sheriff, how many deputies you got? Oh, you got 20 deputies? Hey, here's 20 books. Make sure everyone gets one, okay? Go see the county clerk. How many clerks working in here? Oh, you got 4? Oh, here's 4 booklets. Make sure everybody gets one. Personally give it to them themselves. Hey, who are they? Is that one over there? What's her name? What's his name? Hey, Joe, you want to a free book on law, on the jury, a jury pocket book. You know, this is the war. It's a war of knowledge. It's a war of education. They win because we're ignorant. We will win because we're knowledgeable. But we don't have much time to win through knowledge. If we don't win through knowledge soon, we're going to have to win in a different way, and we don't need to be talking about that. But you all know what I'm talking about. We have to do something now. There is no more time. I again, I'm going to challenge everybody. I do this every week. Well, not every week, but I do it as often as I remember. I'm going to challenge you, okay? Anybody in there, I want to hear a good reason why you can't have your county reconstituted within the next 2 weeks. I want to hear a good excuse. Tell me why your county has not been constituted yet. Tell me why you can't get it done in the next 2 weeks. Okay? Maybe you're crippled. Maybe you're bedridden. Maybe you're out of the state, out of the county. Well, I don't care. You can still get it done. You got to be someone else in the county you'd be working with and helping, even if it's by the phone. Someone got to get down. Call up the county organizers next door and say, hey, look, I want to get my county done. I'll help when I can on the phone. I'll make the phone calls. I'll send out the papers to the newspapers. I'll do this, but I can't be there for the election because I'm out of town or I'm bedridden or whatever the case may be. Okay? You could still do it. Let's get it done. We have 3,142 counties. We need to get these done now. July, if July is correct, that's when they plan on pulling the plug on this whole thing, July. That's only 2 months away. Let's get it done in 30 days. Let's just get constituted. Even if you don't put the paperwork in, that's secondary. Just get it done. Everybody in one accord can put it in 1 day. Okay? That's power. And it is a very interesting thing to think about. We're going to the federal court. Whatever ruling by this federal court makes in New York, it's the same ruling in your state. Just remember that. We're thinking about that when we write these papers. So realize that. You need to be ready, because if we win this case, your state can tip like that. You can have access maybe right when we get access, but you haven't constituted your counties. You haven't organized your state. You haven't done your job. We're caught. We didn't do it. We failed. I don't want us to fail. We can't afford to fail. Our posterity does not want us to fail. God doesn't want us to fail. He's only going to bless us if we come with a bent knee and do the right thing. This is the right thing. Bringing justice, which is synonymous with virtue, which brings us right back to God, back into the courtrooms. That's the right thing to do. All right, one other thing. Anybody that hasn't donated $5 a month, most people can afford $5 a month. Please get out $5 a month. Let the other people know in your counties. We need $5 a month to keep going. $5 a month is not a lot of money. And if only 50 or 100 people send in, it's nothing, it's peanuts. But if 1,000 people send it in, now we're starting to pay some bills. Now we're starting to go somewhere. You know, we got some people, like I said, getting some money, but you can't leave the weight to everybody. That's my next question. Tell me why you can't afford $5 a month. And I don't want to hear, oh, it's about money now all of a sudden. Who cares? If you think I'm about money, then you should leave. You haven't been listening then. But if you think we can run this thing without money, you haven't been listening either, because I don't know any place where everything's for free. Food isn't free. Shelter isn't free. Electric isn't free. Access into the Internet isn't free. Building a website, paying technicians, the technical people to build this thing isn't free, and to maintain it and keep it going. The space in the computer up online is not free. Nothing is free. Everything costs money. But so $5 a month, not a big deal. We went through this before. $5 a month is less than what you pay in taxes for having a coffee and a donut every morning for the 30 days. It's less than the taxes you pay on that. So, come on, $5 a month. If you can afford 10 or 20, that's even better too. But $5, that's all we're asking for. Five lousy dollars. Let's do it. All right, we'll take our first caller. We're going to the wireless caller, 760. Let me see where the button is at. Here we go. 760, wireless caller.
Hi, John. This is Joe, California.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good. And you can handle the heavy stuff tonight, I can tell. The concept of extra credit on the administrator's testing process, where I think the idea is to help people bring themselves up to speed, because what's going to happen is there's going to be a high demand of responsibility that's also associated with accountability. So they want to gain that courage of knowledge in some way, and that's what you're actually offering.
Amen.
So,
that's it.
Okay, so the extra credit is, and we talked about this, if you can put at the end of the testing process, an area where somebody has the opportunity to gain some extra credit. You know, if they missed a few questions, they can gain a few points back or something. Something along the lines of, hey, look, I noticed in your test something that is demonstrably inaccurate, and here's why, and they offer to you a way of improving the test.
Right.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, and here's what we're going to do or how we're doing this. We have certain authorities. Let's take Bill Thornton. Bill Thornton is sort of an authority in his field. I mean, he is one of the top guys. He learned from someone who has now gone and passed away, which he says knew far more than he did, but that was his mentor and his teacher. And other people have picked up since then and are working, so I'm sure there are other people up there with Bill Thornton. But Bill Thornton has put together 4 lectures on common law, and I believed every word of it when I went through and we studied it and we started using it and exercising. But we also discovered he had a few errors. Offhand, I can't think of them, but I'm sure if I think about it, I'll figure some up. But that's not important. The thing is that they're not big errors, but every person, I've got errors. Everybody that's human has errors, okay? So he has some errors, and when we find those errors, we need to talk about them. I think his vision on how he articulated and put forth the picture of the idea of the grand jury is where he failed one of the places. But he also said he didn't do a lot of research in that area. So, you know, but I think he made some errors in the way that he wrote the papers up, you know, on getting together a grand jury. And he made the same mistake we all made, and I made myself. Okay, we need 25 people in the county. We've got to get out. No, that's the wrong thinking. We don't need 25 people. We need 4 people to administrate and then work the pools of people, which are the people themselves and throughout the county. We bring in, refresh new pools all the time. It's the people coming in, judging the people. It's the people controlling their government, consenting or not consenting to whatever's going on. Okay, that's what it is. And you didn't really get that picture from Bill, but again, he said he didn't put much study into that part of it. But we have, and we have really kind of tweaked it pretty good. Not that we're perfect, but I'm sure we'll have error. So yeah, we need a place, and it's the a national place where we have the national forum, where we can have these kind of conversations where, hey, you know, we can start thinking in different ways of seeing these things and correcting the errors. We have a trial by jury, Lysander Spooner, okay, and he's done some great, great research. I'm sure we'll find some errors if we dig deep enough. A couple of things that he lays out, and, you know, you have to listen very carefully because Lysander Spooner is a very good teacher. He's in depth, but he gives you everyone's position. He'll say, well, we looked at history and we came up to this conclusion. We looked at history, came up to that conclusion. He'll bring 2 or 3 different conclusions up and say, well, okay, which is the right one? And then he'll lay logically and you say, well, okay, I can see that. You see, so you got to listen very carefully to him. I know when you read the book of Romans in the Bible, it's similar to that. You know, Paul will be speaking, of course, it's God speaking to Paul, but he'll be speaking about something, you know, in chapter 3. And when you get to chapter 7, he's back on the same subject. And if you haven't been paying attention from 3 to 7, you've missed the whole thing, okay? And because you have to see all these things, and he's giving you different pictures. We also have the 5,000-year leap, which we've made part of our studies. And we also have a couple of constitutional courses. I was talking with Hagen from down in Florida, and I think he was interested in putting something together, so we may add something that he's doing to this course. I'd like to write a book myself and put some things together, but I haven't got time. But maybe in the future we'll put something together But we have more than what we need. Everything that I've learned really is on the website, and the most important stuff that I've learned is the stuff that we have chosen to bring together, that that people are required to become, to do in order to become the administrators. And it's up to you. It's up to every person here to make sure everybody does their homework. Nobody gets a free ride. Nobody gets pushed through because he's got a personality or something, or they're king. No. No. Whoever's doing the work, they're the ones that get in. But on the other hand, we lack administrators yet. We're really short of administrators. But there will be some counties, I'm sure, where 5 or 6 or 7 people might want that position. Well, it's the people doing the homework that's going to get in. But bear in mind, you know, if you really want it bad and you don't make it in time and 4 other people get it and you really would like to take that position, well, look at the county next door to you, because you can work in any county. You can travel to work over there and participate in that county. Later on, if someone leaves in your county, you can always transfer over. Some people live closer to the location in another county where the court may be, because they live on the edge of their county somewhere, and it's closer to the courthouse in the county next door than they are to their own. So that might work out to their benefit anyway. So there are positions to be made, but it is up to the people who are coming together, 3 or 4 people, and they see a slacker. They have to pull them aside and say, hey, look, you know, you really got to bone up. You're not doing your job. You know, I'm looking and I see you're not getting anywhere in your course. You're not doing it. You know, you got to work it on this if you want this position. So we got to push each other on this. We got to police ourselves. You have to do it. I have to do it. We all have to do it. This is the grassroots part of this thing. Joe, anything else?
Yeah, one other thing, and then there's a whole lot of people I think need to speak. It's when I was listening, it was the dumb as a box of rocks comment, and I'm immediately inspired to caution, and that is there are people that have a real craft in appearing as being dumb as a box of rocks. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just offering that, and that's it for me.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Let me take the next caller. Okay, Mark, 407, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, I went ahead and filed everything with the clerk of courts here, and luckily enough, they stamped it accepted. And so what's our next step?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Say that again? You went in?
I filed everything with the clerk of courts here
okay.
in Orange
what
County,
state?
Florida.
Okay.
Florida. Uh-huh. And they actually stamped it, you know, accepted or whatever. They didn't return it, luckily enough.
Uh-huh.
So what's the next step?
Have you talked with Hagen?
Well, yeah, Hagen, I talk to regularly. He's just a little busy moving right now. I was just curious.
I would say talk to Hagen and talk to Roger. And if you want to become part of that team and involved and you're studying and you jump in to get your 2 cents in, you could be there. Or if you're just looking to them for direction, that's good too. But there's got to be a team in every state working on this. And I talk to Hagen quite often, and he calls up with questions or he calls up with some new things he learned, and sometimes he has things that teaches me and so on and so forth. So, but, you know, he's doing things kind of the way we are. I will tell you what we're doing in New York more than I ever realized. I've been saying this for a while. If New York gets in, it's going to be like dominoes across the states. But I would think there'd be slow-falling dominoes. Not the case. I want to tell you right now, New York gets in, it's going to speed across this country with a speed that is going to knock us out. I'm telling you right now, trust me on this. For what we have put together and what we're doing, I didn't realize this until the last 2 days. You know, it dawned on me, and I said, whoa. When I, you know, doing what we're doing, it's like, you know, we're trying to learn and figure things out, and we're puzzling things together. And whenever you put a puzzle together, the picture becomes clearer and clearer as you get more pieces. And sometimes there'll be some key pieces you put in. You say, whoa, look at that. I never realized that was even in the puzzle. You see, that's where we're at right now. We just puzzled a few pieces together, moving forward in such a way that we thought we were going to be at some point anyway, hoping to be able to solve it in the state, but if not, we go to the Fed. But then we saw something we didn't see before. We kind of knew it, but we never realized it. And we didn't realize how much control we here have on this by how we word our paperwork. The control is phenomenal. When we get the paperwork done, it'll be put up, and you'll see what we're talking about. It is powerful. I'm telling you right now, when New York gets in, it's just going to flow straight across the nation in light speed. That's why I'm telling the people, get your counties organized and get constituted. You're derelict of duty if you don't do it. If you know about this and you're sitting there, especially if you've been here for months and your county is not constituted, then you are derelict of duty. So you got to get going. You got to do it. Let's get off of our duffs and let's do it.
Hagan and Roger are working diligently. They're doing a good job. But I was just curious to hear it from you. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was really about it. We're moving along and we're constituting all the counties. So things are working out pretty good. We're just ready for the next big step.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the slow step. This is where it takes the patience and so on and so forth. But I'm telling you, what we're doing here in New York, it's going to pop it. You know, there are a few states that may make it before we do, because they may be able to accomplish what they need to accomplish right in the state itself without having to deal with the feds. And that'll help us too, of course. It's going to happen quick. Get constituted, get organized, get educated, get going. And like I said, in the next 2 weeks or so, roughly speaking, I believe we will have the tests up onto the website, and we'll be moving along with those tests. And that's where we're going to see who's really, really involved. And we need at minimum one administrator per county, bare minimum. Okay, we need to do that very quickly, one administrator per county. Eventually you'll get two, eventually three, eventually four. You know, we'll have other people who will kind of help. They don't want to leave their jobs. They're doing well with whatever they're at, or whatever reason, they don't want to take the position, but they're willing to help. So use the help of volunteers. You know, even if you're the only administrator in the county at the time, and be connected with, that's why you got to be connected to your other counties, because administrators will help each other out from county to county. And if you really needed somebody, you can call up and say, hey, you know, can two or three of you come over here and help me out, you know, and deal with the situation, maybe talking with a judge or talking with the sheriff or whatever the case may be. Okay. We've been thinking about that too, because I think what we're going to do is we're going to do maybe four areas in the state where we're going to call the sheriffs together in one area, and they're going to travel. You know, once we have authority and power and we're seated, they're going to travel. We're going to call the judges. You know, they're going to have to travel. They're going to come see us. We'll take it in one courthouse that's convenient to maybe five courthouses, five counties or four counties, whatever the case may be. And they're going to travel to come so we can read them the Riot Act. Every single Supreme Court judge, even if we have to do it on a Saturday, okay, they're going to come. And we're going to let them know with no uncertain terms, you don't come, then you're going to be looking for a job. We'll think about how that would work and how we would do that, but they're going to come. Same thing with the sheriffs. And it's really simple with the sheriffs, because we will, once we're known and we put the word out, this is not your sheriff because he doesn't care, don't reelect him. You know, we'll put the word out on him in his county, and the people of the county won't vote for him. We'll have some clout. And if people are working on the committee man thing, they won't walk their papers, okay, because we'll have a lot of influence with them. Look, at this guy is not doing the constitutional thing. He refused to come to the meeting. He's not learning. He's a deadbeat, man. And he just, he's making an oath, and he's not keeping it because he doesn't even know what the oath means. He doesn't know what the Second Amendment really, really means. He doesn't know about the First Amendment or any of them, the Fifth Amendment, you know? Mm-hmm. So we'll have a lot of clout to really make these people listen. And I think we'll have to figure this out because, you know, at first we're thinking we're going to do, you know, one county at a time in every group, but there'll be counties which some people may not feel capable of talking to the judge or talking to the sheriff. I don't know. And they have to really get used to that. So we thought we'd be traveling around helping people, but, you know, 62 counties in New York, it'll take a long time to do. So we have to do it collectively. Like we did in the end, we did a lot of elections at one shot. We're going to do a lot of counties judges at one shot, a lot of county sheriffs at one shot here, and travel to a few places across around the state. That's how we'll get it accomplished.
Okay. All right. Well, keep up the good work. I appreciate what you're doing, and we'll do anything you tell us to do down here. Okay.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take the next caller. Let's see. It's 971 area code. You've been unmuted.
Greetings, sir.
Greetings.
Robert here from Washington County, Oregon.
How you doing, Robert?
I'm good, sir, and I really appreciate what you're doing. We've been rather busy here. It's an unusual state. Our stated coordinator got her county done, and she just was working like crazy to get everybody together, and now one of the guys from here in Washington County is working to share the duties. But over this last weekend, we reconstituted the three most populous counties in Oregon, Washington, Multnomah, and Clackamas. So that's like 1.2 million people. But we also have formed our own national, you know, Oregon chapter of the NLA website on, or Facebook page, and we have a Wednesday night talk show meeting every Wednesday for all the people in the state. Then on our reconstituting this last weekend, we also had county coordinators from two counties that are way on the other side of the state, and they drove all the way up just to see how it's done and participate. So the biggest problem I think we have is inertia.
Right. Yeah, I got a call from someone in Washington. It might have been you, and I believe it was the state of Washington, that said that they perceived they were going to be done with the whole state in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Have you heard that? Is that plan in place?
Well, there are a couple of members of our group that are talking with people in Washington. I'm from Washington County, Oregon.
Okay, Oregon. I'm sorry. I thought you were Washington State. Okay, Oregon. Well, how's Oregon coming? Are they ready to pop?
Well, we have four counties done out of 36. The biggest problem we have, as I said, is we got the three most populous counties. The rest of them are either semi-rural or very rural. And we have...
Well, that's why you want to do, you know, three or four or counties at a time and find a central location to these many counties and over this or those many counties, and then do them to collectively get the newspaper like you normally do, and invite as many people as you can. Try to get people from that county to come. And if you don't get anyone to take the paperwork for that county, at least it's done. So when someone does step up, hey, here's the paperwork, and give it to them. It's done, you see? So... do what you can to organize and to get these counties done as soon as possible. Every state needs to be working on it. We need to get this job done, people, so we got to move on it. In the next 30 days, if we can get most of the counties throughout the United States. Look, I want to tell you something. When you go in and you talk to when I write my papers, we put these papers together and we make certain points, and you will see it in the federal papers here that we're writing. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, New York has 62 counties, and we've been constituted in all 62 counties, and we told them how we did it, right in the papers. You know, not in very great detail, but enough for they understood we did it the right way. And we make mention of the fact that we're not alone. There are 10 other states. We mention the next 10 states. And there are four other states that are ready to fall right behind us to pop also. So we'll be 14 very, very soon. And so that means a lot. That puts the fear into these people. I'm telling you, they realize that we're coming. The people are coming, okay? You know, I remember the enemy talking when they came to the website, when we moved to the new website, and it was a while before we got things going, and they saw that there were zero counties elected, when in fact there were quite a few counties elected, maybe 100 or something. But they saw nothing, and they went boasting to the other enemies. Ah, yeah, these people, they're not going anywhere. I saw the thing. They got zero counties. They've been doing this for a year, and they're not going anywhere, you know. But I don't know if they've been out since. Then, you know, they'll see that we're coming.
Well, indeed, we have, you know, like the guy who is helping with the state coordinator job has taken the download files and pre-customized them for each county. So when a county coordinator, you know, appears, that all he has to do is email that package, and all they have to do is basically change dates and places. But also the guys who came from across the state are also each doing two or three county. People in those rural areas are doing multiple county duty.
Right. Good.
So we're trying to pull it together, and it, you know, the idea has received very little criticism when we present it, but also I guess that comes in part with your presentation. You know, if you come off defensive or belligerent or whatever, they're not going to listen. But one of the things I found is acting in a person's own interest, the person whose venue we put our meeting in, I asked him, you know, aren't you tired of this? Aren't you tired of that? You know, and he said, well, of course. And I said, well, this is what we're working to remedy. And he, oh, well, great. So there it is.
All right. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to work together. Let me make a, I was just thinking about this. I should have brought it up earlier. I know of one or two cases where people are taking the email for the state, and they're sending out daily messages, and some of these messages are off point. We can't do that. We can't abuse our email. You know, we shouldn't be sending out many more than one or two at most emails a week. And the messages should be on point. Hey, we're organizing. Hey, we're electing. Hey, we have this meeting. It's important. Hey, you know, these are the things that need to be spoken about. But people, you know, a lot of people, I'm one of them, I get a lot of email. And I really don't need, you know, someone sending me a special message every day or something, especially things that are off point. We need to stay on point. So I just wanted to bring that up. Don't abuse the email lists to bring messages that are not with what we're talking about. We had this problem for a little while on our meetup group. For those who don't know, we have a meetup group on the right side of our website. You know, you'll see the meetup. You click on that, you can join our meetup group. And that's a national meetup group, and we have emails that flow through there, and we have forums inside that area. It's very good for sending out messages. But we did have some people who, you know, from time to time, you know, they'll get off point and they start to flood it with a lot of email, and people don't want it. They just want to, they want the messages that are coming that are important. So, but we've been able to control that pretty good, and people kind of realize what we're talking about. And, you know, they got the forums where people can talk about anything they want, you know, and they can post things. And then people following the forum can press a button to be notified when someone talks on that forum. So we have the same thing on our website right here. We have the forums that way too. We'll hopefully be working out something. Right now, any state, we can send out email. At some point, maybe it'd be good where we can have some kind of communications by email where people can kind of come in, opt in, and get onto the email list of discussions by email. I don't know what's that going to cost to get that going onto our website because I'm not capable of building that part of it. We'll see. Maybe we could do that soon.
All right. Well, thank you. That's pretty much all I had for you. I just wanted to let you know of our success.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Keep up the good work, sir.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, let's take our next caller. Let it is 401 area code. 401-788. You got the mic. NACCI, NACI maybe? Hello? All right, one more time. Nobody there. We'll move to the next caller. 401, you got the mic. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Gina, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing, Gina?
Hi, John. This is Gina from Mums County in New Jersey.
How you doing?
All right. I want to say hi to everyone on the call, and that everything, I always do walk by faith in everything that I do.
And not
and
by
I
science.
Feel that as long as we keep doing what we're doing and stay active, and, you know, if something's or someone's not active, then we have to find out what's going on with that. But stay positive. And my vision that I receive, we're going to be very successful in this. This is going to be something that the Most High has called us to do, and He's going to make sure that we do. As long as we do our part, He'll do His part. And also, I have received a call from our state coordinator, Jason. His car broke down, so he couldn't make the call. So he asked me, you know, to ask you a couple questions that he had that he wanted to ask personally. And so I wrote them down, and these are his questions. He basically wanted me to ask you, how does one create a court of record in a foreclosure court or a regular Nisi Prius court? And the other question was, if the Fifth Amendment says about, you know, when you go to court on a trial by jury, but there's only a judge there sitting, is that a no court, having no authority, sitting under the delusion of one? So that was those were his two questions.
Well, it's very easy to know if you're in a Nisi Prius court. If you're in a Nisi Prius court and the judge is making all the decisions and he's opening his mouth too much, you're in a Nisi Prius court. The key thing is that you'll hear them talking about statutes. You hear the lawyer and the judge talking about statutes and codes, you know. You're in a Nisi Prius court. It's a statutory court. We need to be in a common law court. You know, there's no such thing in common law as a summary judgment. And that's the interesting thing, you see, because when we filed our papers here in New York, this judge didn't have it but two days. And he met with one lawyer who came together with him, and they made the decision. I mean, they didn't even call us. And they just threw it right out. No cause of action, no standing or something. I even forget what it is. But, you know, some stupid thing like that. It's always the same thing, no cause of action. And, you know, I often say you could be laying in front of the judge there with a knife coming out of your gut, and he'll hit his hammer and say, no cause of action here. That's how bad it is. These people are just so evil. You know, when they make these summary judgments, that's illegal. You can't do that in common law court. Common law court requires your day in court and at a trial, which means you have a jury. If you want a jury, you have a jury. And if you're the plaintiff and the other side is brain dead and they don't realize they asked for a jury, well, why should you then? You'll get to decide at the end, so you decide. Of course, these judges don't understand that, and it's all an uphill battle. But the way to open up a common law court is really very, very simple. It's really just a few phrases you use in the beginning. You establish your jurisdiction, and you establish your standing. And you do that by saying that you're one of the people. That's your standing. I'm one of the people in whatever state you're in New Jersey. And in this court of record, that's your jurisdiction. We sue or we charge or whatever. You know, this person, that person for these things. And later on, a page or two away, you describe that a court of record proceeds according to the common law. You put it in a footnote, a court of record proceeds according to the common law. And you put everything that you need there to know for them to know. Now, of course, they don't read and they don't understand. Look at, you know, talking about blindness, they're totally blind to what we're talking about. They're hearing the words, but it's not going into their brain because they were never taught this. That's they don't, to them, we're foreigners, and we are foreigners to them. We're from America. They're from planet zero, you know. They're blind to what we're talking about. They put a lot of time in their education. Some of these people, maybe 20, 30-year veteran lawyers, you know, attorneys, whatever you want to call them, and they paid their dues. They spent a lot of money for education. They believe these things all their life since their education on. And then we come in and tell them, well, that's a fiction. That's not real. That's fantasy land. Here's the real law. They're not going to, well, you're crazy, they're going to say. So it's an uphill battle. And, you know, to learn how to do this, it really requires some studying. I mean, again, you go through the courses that we have because it takes, there's no simple thing, way of putting this. It just takes time to learn. And so you go through the courses we're setting up, and that's the first order of business. As far as writing a case, We have a court. We have a course up there, which is not part of our course that we put together, and it's called Court Access. And that gives you the anatomy of a court case. It lays out all the necessary paperwork. It's the same in every state, every court. It's the same everywhere you go. And how things work, you know. But we also show in that some of the things that they do in statutory court, so you understand that. But you really have to stay on the common law side, the natural law side of these things. But to get any deeper than that, take too much time right now, but people just have to study, and then they ask questions.
Yeah.
Where the things.
Yeah, I've been looking
missed.
At those cases on that site there. It's very good stuff there. People, like you said, people study and take their time and go each line, and eventually, like you said, through osmosis, it'll fall in place for you.
That's right. Look, I've read things I didn't understand what they were talking about, but it's like learning another language, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're picking something up out of this. I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I was totally lost. But I did pick up things out of there, so that's why I kept on reading, you know. And next time around, and then you start doing your studies, and before you know it, you're understanding a lot of stuff. You're saying, whoa, you know, because it just comes to you. It's not all that difficult as I thought, you know. I started listening to the tapes on a federalist and an anti-federalist, and it gets a little confusing because they're saying things that aren't true in our Constitution at the moment, but it was the debate going on. So mm-hmm. you have to be careful when you listen there, because some of the things they're talking about has been pulled out. They've talked quite a bit, I saw, on the jury, and yet the finished product had nothing about the jury in the body of the Constitution. But you found the jury in the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And of course, Scalia makes the point that you don't find it in the body. It's a Bill of Rights, therefore it's a right. We can't touch it. Whatever mm-hmm. they decide, that's it. When the people make a decision, we don't have the authority and the power to overturn it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Unless they violated someone else's unalienable rights, of course, that's their duty to overturn it then. But as long as we, the people, haven't done that, whatever decision we made, look at, if people decide to put someone in jail for 10 years or 30 years or the death penalty, and that's what the people decide, no judge can overturn that. None.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As long as, again, you don't violate the unalienable rights of an individual, you know? I've heard it, they said years ago, that if you stole a horse, it's a death penalty. Of course, that's unusual punishment. We have to realize that.
Yeah.
You know, I read, when you listen to Lysander Spooner's trial by jury, and you go all the way back into the ancient days, they talk about immersion, okay, which means they put you under the water for so many minutes, and then they bring you up, and they give you just a short period of time, and they're back again, and you'll be dunked so many times, depending on the crime, as a punishment. That's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? That's why our founding fathers added that. You know, cruel and unusual punishment, just sticking your hand in boiling water. I mean, you're going to hear about those things in ancient days through Lysander Spooner. And again, it's like anything else, you know. If an individual, this is out of the Bible, God speaks about those who are unstable or unlearned and wrestle with things to their own destruction because they're unschooled or unlearned, you know, and... And so we have to take our time and think about things, and that's why teachers are important too, because someone who's been through it and they learned and they can explain the things. But, you know, if you listen to something all the way through it and you go back a second and a third time, all of a sudden you start to put it together. And so our founding fathers, when they put this together, they really touched, I think, most of the bases. I haven't seen anything that they really missed yet. The Bill of Rights... Okay, you know, it's such a little piece of information, the Bill of Rights, which is, you know, 10 amendments, and when you look at it, there's not much to it, and yet it says a whole bunch. I mean, sometimes less is more, and let me tell you,
Right. Exactly. It
says a lot, okay? And so it lays out, and what is the Bill of Rights? The Bill of Rights is a bill of prohibition. It's forbidden the government from doing anything concerning these things, and that's what saved America for 200 years. Like George Bush said, that damn piece of paper in the way again. You know, he actually said that because he was trying to get some things going, and the Bill of Rights got in his way, and he didn't like it. And I'm sure this guy in office said the same thing, too, many times.
No,
but it's the Bill of Rights that has kept us free. It's the Bill of Rights that has kept us as America. We're about ready to lose it. And when you look at the body of the Constitution in itself, which really basically describes the three powers of government, you know, the legislative, the administrative, and the judicial powers. And when you really look at it and go through it very carefully, they did a marvelous job there, really. You know, they're nowhere in there to say that they can write any kind of laws concerning our behavior. And when you think about just those two things we spoke about, here's the Bill of Prohibition or the Bill of Rights. Don't tread on these rights. This is the key parts of our rights. Then the other thing is you can't write any legislation that controls the behavior of people. Well, now you got liberty when you realize those two things. You know, and that's where we got to get back to those things where these people in office realize, don't tread on us, man. Don't tread on us. Don't try to go beyond the power that we gave you, okay?
And they have definitely done that. It seems like it's a protocol that the main thing they're being taught is the cover up for the next colleague. And
well,
that's
exactly,
why you can't get
exactly.
Justice.
Well, look, at you know, they're used to playing with people who don't know how to play the game because they played so many tricks. And people are frustrated and destroyed. Now we're coming in. We know how they play their game, and we understand what they're doing. And we can reveal the evil that they're doing and reveal it not only to them but to others. But they're used to someone not pushing back, and we are pushing back, and they can't even speak. They can't even respond because it's so obvious that we're right. What are they going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, anything else?
No, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're trying to get some things going as far as, like, forums here to get to reach more people. I'm waiting for some information now and some dates because I know how to put together, like, I don't want to call it like a convention or whatever, but just to bring people together, bring some speakers in, maybe bring, you know, entertainment or whatever, just to get to the people. Sometimes I find it easier to get two people through entertainment sometimes because a lot of times I passed out flyers or whatever and people say, I'm going to call, I'm going to get on the site and I don't hear anything. So I have to find another way to get to them, but I'll get there.
Yeah, keep pushing. Eventually they'll wake up, Lord willing, you know. One other thing about the Constitution, one of the most powerful parts of the Constitution, And a lot of it is powerful, of course, but what really ties the states together is that supremacy clause. Okay? All judges in every state must adhere and must obey to the original contract, which is the Constitution, and it includes the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. Anything to the contrary, notwithstanding. They cannot make a law, they cannot add anything in the Constitution that violates the principles put down by the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. That's the supremacy clause. That's the law of the land right there. And anything any state does to the contrary is null and void. And this is one of the things they just don't get. You know, I talk to a lot of lawyers, I talk with judges, and they just don't get this supremacy clause. They're blind as a bat. They just don't see it. And, you know, that's interesting that they're so blind because the words are so obvious. To you and me, we read it. Whoa, it's very simple. It's obvious. But it's interesting that they're blinded. You know, we talked in the beginning of this program tonight about Elisha and how God had blinded these people. And they didn't see, and he delivered them right into the hands of the enemies. And he unblinded. They were surrounded and swords in their bellies, and they were stuck. They were there. You want us to take them out, Elisha? We'll kill them. You know, they called him Father Elisha, okay? You want us to take him out? We'll do it. He could have taken the whole army out, okay? And yet he said, nah, feed him and send him home. And they ate, they went home, and they forgot all about Elisha, what they even went there for. They forgot everything. Even the king that sent, they never came back. They forgot because God put it in their heart, and God blinded them. And so here, these people are blinded to the law for some reason. They're cursed, ultimately, that they're blinded to the true law. And how much more, if they're blinded to the law, how much more maybe that they're blinded to what we're really doing, to not really understand yet, and that we may get past that point. But the Supremacy Clause is really one of the things that we use all the time in the courts, okay? You're in a different jurisdiction? Let me show you the Supremacy Clause and what it says. Now, again, you know, it's like talking to the wall sometimes. Now, we talked with an investigator for the sheriff's office in Columbia County. And at first I could see he had an attitude about who we were. He presumed who and what we were doing. And whatever his evidence is, I don't know. But I can see he didn't seem to really care for us in the beginning. But as we were talking, he started to realize we were talking about sensible things. We were talking about the law. And it turned out he studied law. Okay, so he kind of knew the statutes. He'd studied law, but he became an investigator, and he was with the sheriff's department, and we're talking about codes. He said, no, you don't understand. The codes are not applied, new U.S. codes. They're not applied here in New York. We have our own codes. I said, I'm sorry, I beg to differ with you. And he told me, look, you don't know what you're talking about, he said to me. I'm kind of paraphrasing the conversation. You don't know what you're talking about. I went to college, and I went to law school, and I know the law. And I said, well, they failed to teach you. Let me show you something. And I pulled out I think I had a paper which was written on, maybe at the Constitution, but I think I had a paper because I'd written some notes and I wanted to have the Supremacy Clause. And I put it down. I said, there's the Supremacy Clause. That's Article 6 of the United States Constitution, Clause 2. Yeah, I'd read it. And he read through it. And I saw he read through it again and a third time. And he took the paper up. And he says, I'll be right back. And he left. He came back a couple of minutes later. And he says, you know, you're right. You know, U.S. codes do apply. You see, he
right.
was able to see that because he read it. And he wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't fixed into that game. Even though he went to law school, he went a different direction. His mind was not destroyed. These guys are making a lot of money. They don't want the game they got going. They don't want that to change. So they're greedy and there's wrong things going on. They have no empathy. They don't care about you, your children. They don't care if you die. They don't care if you put you in jail. They don't care if you're suffering. They don't care about nothing. They don't care that children are growing up without parents because they've taken them away from them. They don't care because they're making money. They go to their yachts and their clubs and their summer houses and they're living off the fat of the land and they have no empathy. It's not there.
They've
destroyed themselves, you know. But anyway, it's interesting, you know, that people that aren't stuck in that can see, but they can't. They're blind. They just can't see it. They don't want to see it as what it is.
They don't want to see it, like you said, because they've grown used to the money that's coming in, and they've hardened their hearts, you know, like
right.
Pharaoh. They just harden their
that's
hearts,
right.
And when you bring the truth, then they want to act like you're crazy. Oh, they're crazy.
That's
no,
right.
We're not crazy. We're just bringing the truth, and it's time for the truth. You know, it's a season and a time for everything. Now it's time for the truth. They've had their run. And the Most High has never lost a battle, and he's not going to lose this one.
The truth will set you free, and some people we put in prison. but anyway, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the problem. So, all right, anything else?
No, that's about it for this week. Until next week,
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
All right,
let's
thank
go
you
to now. The next caller. Let's see. Who's coming on? Maud? Is that Maud, M-A-U-D?
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I really don't have a question. I just put myself in case I had a question by the time
just in
got
case.
Around to asking questions. But I thought I'd share something just very quickly. I was listening to, I don't know if you've ever heard of Ambassador Leo Wanta.
No, I don't.
He worked for a Reagan administration, and he has this huge amount of money that he apparently was in charge of bringing down the Soviet Union through financial stuff, and accumulated a tremendous amount of money that the cabal has stolen, and it's to help the American people that Reagan wanted. But the interesting thing about he had a long interview today, I just listened to it, is that he stated that Prescott Bush, who was George Bush's father, you know, was dealing with the Nazis during World War II.
That's correct.
And apparently, you know, he was caught, and to not go to jail, he made a deal with the government that no Bush could run for office. And Reagan knew this, and he considered George Bush illegal. Isn't mm-hmm. that interesting?
Yeah, I don't know that part of the story that you had mentioned. But yeah, look, there's a lot of strange bedfellows up there. Remember that guns are to a lot of people's heads. You know, who really knows what George Bush went to? Look what they did to Kennedy. You know, look what they did to Kennedy.
But George Bush was involved in Kennedy's murder.
Oh, yeah, we're aware. I'm aware of that, yes. A lot of people are not aware of that. He was the point man in Dallas on the ground.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And President Kennedy said a revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we're fortunate enough, but a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can affect its character, we cannot alter its inevitability. Okay, that's Kennedy back in, goodness, I'm not even sure what year he wrote that, in 62 maybe, 63, if he went through the Bay of Pigs. And he talked about the being a peaceful revolution, and they won't allow it to be. That's why we have to move with speed.
At the moment, they would no. Let's watch what we say here. They haven't allowed it.
They haven't allowed what?
They haven't allowed it to be a peaceful revolution.
No. It's up to us to make it a peaceful revolution. Okay. Yeah. They will not allow it to be a peaceful revolution, and that's why we're in a race against time. We still have the possibility of keeping this thing peaceful. We really do.
Oh, absolutely.
If we can succeed in what we're doing, okay? And we can succeed if people get up and let's get everything ready, because I'm telling you right now, the floodgates are about to open in New York. I believe that within the next 30 days. Look, when we go into court in 20 days, from whenever we file these papers. So at the end of this month, I believe the floodgates are going to open, okay, across the United States
if
we're successful on this one day in court.
Well, you know
And I think we're
going to
be. I really do.
I think it's a good thing you're going to the federal court, because you would go, you obviously weren't going to get anywhere with the local court.
Right. We thought through fear and pressure of the people coming to the courts, but they won't even give us our day in court.
That's how
frightened they are of us. Believe me, look, in the beginning, they were dying to get us in court. We just did a letter for someone in Utah, I think it was, and I think we posted that letter. Let me go up and take a look. I'm pretty sure we did. If we didn't post this letter, I got to get up there and post this letter. And if we posted it, it would have been on the news page. But the letter comes from the high court, you know, again, the highest judges, the chief judges of the state court. And in the letter, they say, you know, if you want to argue this point, bring it into the court. They have no clue what they're asking for. Of course, if they don't know how to defend themselves, it's the last thing they want to do. They tried to do the same thing to us in New York. They say, hey, you know, they even offered us an index number for free, because they figured they'd get us in court, and then they'd get the rule, and then they would hold us in contempt. We knew what their game was, okay? And so we didn't take it. But as time went on, we were communicating with them. Remember, this thing started in New York in September, and we went September, October, November, December, January, February, March, and now April, and we're now into May. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months. Is that right? September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. Yeah, May is the 9th month. We're 8 months into this thing. We've been communicating with these people. We've been writing letters. We've been sending true bills. We've done memorandums, mandamuses. Of course, we filed the papers in the court eventually. Well, now they realize, after all the communications they've had with us, one-sided communications, because they only wrote really wrote two letters. And then they shut up because they realized what they were doing. And yet they don't answer nothing, but I got to believe they got to be real morons if they're not at least reading our papers, because at least they can understand who we are. And what makes me think they read our papers is the fact that they are tooth and nail preventing us from coming into the courts. They do not want us into that courtroom because they know that's over for them once we do that. They know we're going to flood the courts. They know the papers are so powerful and they can't respond. They know. And so they're frightened. They're very, very frightened. And, you know, I'm sure they're worried about us taking it to the federal courts. And I am absolutely crystal clear in my mind, the end of this week, they're going to go absolutely into cardiac arrest. I mean, it's going to be, because they have no control on the federal court.
No, they don't understand.
They don't understand the federal court. I have been in federal court only once in a case that we won, too, no less. And but in any event, I was in federal court only once. And a judge, you know, he wasn't very nice to me either, okay? But he was much more polite to me, I thought, and beat me up a lot less than he did the other. He beat every single lawyer in that courtroom up. You know, you guys better learn the rules. You guys think you're coming here, not alone, you, but I don't want to see this paper like this. You know, he was, oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. So he beat those lawyers up for not knowing the law. I think they like to do that because I don't think they like the lawyers that play around in the state courts. I think they think they're ignorant. They look down and they stub their nose at them, you know. I don't think they like the judges in the state courts either. I think they're ignorant also.
Well, they probably are, most of them, aren't they?
Well, they are. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I read these guys' papers. They're just
appointed judges, aren't they? They aren't necessarily lawyers, are they?
Who's that?
The judges in the local courts.
Oh, they're all. You can't get it, become a judge without being an attorney.
Oh, you have to be an attorney.
Oh yeah, you have to go to bar school so that they can completely indoctrinate you. No judge. Let me repeat this: no judge in New York State becomes a judge unless the bar says you can be a judge. Now that's control. You can't be an attorney or a lawyer unless you go to bar school. You can't be a judge unless you go to bar school and you're approved. And believe me, they keep a very good record of you in bar school all the way through, and they keep a record of you going through your process. The bar knows everything about every attorney out there, your cases and everything. They really watch. And when someone wants to be a judge, they know whether this is the right guy for the job. They're looking for a good criminal that they can control. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what we got. We are really, we have nothing but criminals in the court system. Nothing but criminals.
I know. All kinds of fraud. Well, they get, from what I understand, when they get their CAFRA, from the CAFRA accounts, apparently they get a nice bundle of money when they become judges.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I did not post that paper. I apologize for that. It's a very good paper, I thought, with the response. I'll post it. Hopefully I'll post it tomorrow. I'm sure I'll find a time to post it. But it is a letter from the Utah courts, and we responded back.
Well, they got accepted there in Utah?
No, they haven't not been accepted. They're being rejected. And again, it's a dummy letter. The guys are real. They're all morons, okay?
Tell me something. But Florida got accepted.
No. They're fighting, too. We're all fighting.
Oh.
So.
I thought you said Florida got accepted.
No. Florida has become totally constituted, every county. New York, Florida, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Arizona, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Maine. And
so nobody's been accepted.
No, not yet. No, we're fighting.
Well, I know we'll get Doug. You guys really your law... Your constitutional law and it's meant to be.
Right. I agree. I think that's why being in the state courts, they know both sides, okay? And what they will look at, they're very good at, is bringing you back into their jurisdiction. And I think what we have become very good at is making clear our jurisdiction in every word, every phrase, every sentence, every paragraph, everything, the way we write everything, every word, we ask the question, are we within our jurisdiction? Every word, every sentence, every phrase. We're careful not to make any mistakes. We acknowledge no codes and no statutes except for those that apply to them. Other than that, we acknowledge nothing. If they codified a law, we're not going to use that code. I mean, if they codified a right, we're not going to use that code in order to give us the authority, because once you use a code to codify your authority, you now just change jurisdictions.
Right.
You see?
So then you're in their system.
We realize that. And we've realized that for a while now. And that's why we're having the success in our paperwork and able to keep just one step ahead of them, so to speak. And so it's going to be very difficult for any judge. It's going to be committing suicide. The judge that does it is going to commit suicide if he rules against us, because he can't make a ruling to begin with. He's just got to obey us. And you'll see, I don't want to talk too much about the paper until I get it written up and get it up there. Once we get the paperwork done and we get it up online, then we'll talk about it. There may be a few places we may not talk about. You know, I don't know yet. But, you know, read it and you'll see. And look for the flaws, you'll see. You know, and if we do find a flaw, we can always correct it. So if anybody finds one, we'll discuss it and correct it. So.
Did you ever get a hold of that other group from Tunisia? Or haven't you done?
No, not yet. I've just been so overwhelmed here. But we're working on facilitating them. You know, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, we will have the site in such a way that they can start joining.
Wonderful. Okay, John, I'll let you go. Many blessings. We keep on supporting. I speak about your group wherever I feel it's appropriate. I don't want to tell people who might misuse it, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you don't want to bring this to the political realms. You want to bring this to the liberty realms.
Right. Okay, dear. Take care. Many blessings. Take care of yourself.
Right.
And
thank you.
Let's keep on going.
Okay, appreciate it.
Good night, John. Good night.
All right, good night. Okay, let us take our next caller. Let's see, wireless caller from, looks like New Jersey, 201. Could that be you? Get your tire fixed? New Jersey, 201. Is that you, Jason? Wireless caller in New Jersey, 201. 240, you got the mic.
Hello,
is that you, Jason?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, you off the road now?
I just got my car dropped off at this during turnover, but Gina did a fantastic job with those questions. I'm just here as a good follower. I'm wishing you the best of luck. We've been abused and neglected too long. And it's about time that we serve our uncivil disservants their working papers.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we can go on. You know, it's very interesting that I'm trying to sit down with my sheriff, and I sent a nice letter of introduction to him. And it just seems to be so the stall game again. I got that from Mayor Healy in Jersey City. Now I'm getting it with Steve Phillip in Jersey City. Now I'm getting it with my sheriff. And on his website, they are always interested in talking to other people and doing different things. And so I just can't wait to be able to speak with the man.
Well, they don't want to talk to anyone that brings the law and the truth, because then they have a problem. So they try to avoid if you bring that your message. And that's the problem with these people, you know. And look at. I wouldn't worry too much about them. If you can talk to them, fine. If you can't, fine. Don't try to really push too hard on them. We are sending out emails to every single sheriff. We just sent one out a couple of days ago. Everybody should have got a copy of that. And we are posting those letters to the sheriff up on our news. You can go to the news drop-down. You'll see memos to the sheriff. And so anybody that hasn't read them, you can read them there. And what we're doing is trying to educate the sheriff. Every sheriff in America, or every American sheriff, is getting our message, with the exception of about 200 out of the 3,142. Remember, there are some states, Connecticut doesn't have sheriffs, Alaska, Hawaii doesn't have sheriffs. I think there was another state somewhere that didn't have sheriffs. I don't remember. They're trying to get rid of the sheriffs down in Delaware. There's three counties in Delaware. They're trying to get rid of the sheriffs. They got rid of seven sheriffs in New York, seven counties. So we have to repair that. So when you remove them, and maybe I guess there's maybe another 100 sheriffs that just don't have emails. I don't know. So,
yeah.
But generally speaking, we are sending messages to these guys a couple of times a week, and we're trying to educate them. And woe is them if they don't learn, because when we get there and we discover they haven't been reading our stuff, they're going to have to answer to us. Because, you know, we're the people, and they should have at least, who are they to just ignore the people anyway? You get an email from the people, and it says, we're coming from the people, and it's talking about, you know, the law. That's his duty to read that, you know? Who are these people? So maybe they need to be looking for another job.
That's an understatement. And the real thing is that what's happening with the prosecutors, they are telling our sheriffs that they have to obey them, and that's
right.
That's
exactly, that's a problem.
And I did do a poem about the it was the Ten Commandments of these Satan and devil, and the number one enemy of the state is the prosecutor, and I posted that on National Liberty Alliance, so people can have something to reflect back to. I mean, that's basically what we're trying to do, is give ammunition to our fellow patriots, and with that, we will be armed to confront the stupidity. Remember, ignorance is maybe bliss, but you pay for the stupidity.
Right, but that prosecutor controls a lot. That prosecutor totally controls the grand jury. The
right.
Prosecutor totally controls the sheriff. I come to realize that. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. I come to realize that when we met with the prosecutor after meeting with the sheriff, and between those two meetings and pondering it and thinking, whoa, wait a second here. The sheriff can arrest, if you can convince the sheriff to go out and arrest someone, that's fine, but the prosecutor now has to prosecute. And if he's in the game, if he's in the fix, he's not going to prosecute. And he's gonna release him and say, hey, I find nothing here. And he's going to go back to the sheriff and say, hey, next time you go do something that you don't know what you're doing, why don't you come talk to me first, and I'll tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And the sheriff is, again, like a boxer, dumb as a box of rocks. And, you know, and I myself was like that, too. I speak to myself first before I understood these things. I was just as dumb as where they were. So, but nevertheless, the sheriff then obeys. And now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and now the people come on him, and he doesn't know what to do, you know? I saw these wimpy sheriffs, you know, they look, they're out there with the people, yeah, this and the Second Amendment, that, and all this other stuff. But then when you ask them the real questions, the hard questions, you know, I'm sorry to say, a lot of these guys, they fail. We're at a meeting in Columbia County, or a meeting in Greene County, and with the sheriffs, And yeah, they sound real tough and everything, but then when the tough questions came, they deferred it to the lawyer. And the lawyer comes up with the two-sided tongue, you know. Depressing.
So
when it comes down where the rubber meets the road, the sheriff usually fails. But not all of them. There are some good sheriffs out there.
Yeah. Well, we know that there are. The real thing is that they're being perverted by the prosecutors and the judges and other factors. And the real thing is that my sheriff in Hudson County, in New Jersey, is not permitted to send an email that I received his email. So by him not doing that, I think there's some adjudication that he's not responding to the people or for a follow up, and his handlers need to be shackled.
Yeah, well, look, you know, we're not on a witch hunt. They're as dumb as we were, and here we are, and we're going to get into the system. I believe it, and anybody that's going to play ball with us from that point forward, we're fine. We're not going to dig up their own sins, as long as the sheriff's going to go out and learn to figure out what he's got to learn. And we're all good. If he doesn't, then we got to get rid of that guy. Same thing with the judge. Same thing with the prosecutors. Same thing with anything. The prosecutors, we don't have to worry too much, because once we depower them, they're done. There's nothing they can do, because they'll bring these cases and we're going to reject them. As a matter of fact, you know, they bring some case where maybe some cop done something wrong, or some corporate officer. Okay, and they think we're going to indict the person that they brought in. We may say, hey, why don't you send that police officer here? We'd like to talk with him. And then we end up indicting him instead. you know?
Yeah.
Instead of the guy that the prosecutor brought. You know?
Again, the bottom line here is that I know we're not out to witch hunt, but it's so frustrating.
I know.
That you want to be an honest man, and you can't. It's like you want to be an honest man, but the judge is a criminal. It's like the honest man was sent to jail by a corrupt judge. And we know that it's crazy. But again, your paperwork is great. We really appreciate it when I read it. It's just it's so short, but your documentation is so superb. It's magnificent. As a librarian, I really like the fact that you got all your footnotes in there. It's just phenomenal. Because again, these guys had to do reports. I third grader did understand that in this world. I don't know. Remember that you have to set this.
Right.
People up.
Okay. Yeah, freedom is understood by those who want to be free, and those who want to enslave others, they can't hear it and they can't understand it. They don't want to understand it. But yeah, we do work very, very diligently when trying to get our wording very correctly. We were not perfect, but we try to get it as correct as possible so that we look at what we sent into the court. There was no squeeze room at all for this judge. None. It didn't exist. Okay? But yet he just decided to be a tyrant and break the law, and he thinks he's going to get away with it. That's the amazing thing. When he gets our federal papers, he's going to know. He's going to know. Okay? And the federal courts, someone sent me a note, that they're more evil than the state courts. That's a fact. They are more evil. They're more sinister. Okay? Because they know everything that they're doing. They understand exactly what they're doing. They also, they're much more highly educated. They understand common law. Okay? They do understand it. And they understand jurisdiction. And they're very good at being able to manipulate the jurisdiction of their court. And that's how they stay safe. And when they find out, I'm telling you right now, I have experienced federal court one time, and I won. Okay, we won. Why did we win? Because we were very meticulous with our words. And he understood. We didn't give any place where he can go, where he can hang his hat for the other side. It just wasn't that. He understood if he ruled against, he understood that his rear end was in the loop. He was going to get stung. He knew that. First of all, he understood we sued everybody and their mother on the way through the system. We did, clerk got in the way, we sued him. Sheriff got in the way, we sued him. Banks got in the way, we sued them. Doesn't matter who we sue. Anybody gets it, we were suing, okay? Agents, everybody, just suing them. And when we wrote good papers, that they there was no wiggle room. They couldn't get out of it. They knew we were right. They tried to deceive us and trick us on numerous occasions. I saw it in the paperwork, and we saw what they were trying to do, and we didn't fall for it. We stuck to our jurisdiction. And we stuck to not preventing them from getting the consent. And we made the point over and over and over and over and over and again. I mean, the guy must have wanted to throw up on the fact that there's no remedy here. If there's no remedy here for me, you can't hear the case. There's no remedy here for me. There's no remedy here for me. You cannot give me remedy. You can't make decisions on state issues. There is no remedy, 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 remedy. Okay? Also, jurisdiction, consent, jurisdiction, consent. You see, we never gave in on that, and we only had one day in court, which I didn't really get to say much because I think he was afraid of what I was going to put on the record. I'd start talking three or four words, and he'd interrupt me and move someplace else and never get back to me, and then I'll get my chance again. He did it again and again, and so I never really got, which was probably good. But my paperwork was really powerful, and it was on point, and there was no wiggle room. There was none. And so I see. Now, I've talked with other people in federal courts. Even Thornton speaks about the federal courts, much, much better place to be, as long as you know your homework and you've done your homework and you know what you're doing. If you understand the jurisdiction, the consent, and the remedies, if you understand those three points particularly, you can win in federal courts every time, because they're not willing to put their flesh on the line as these state judges are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, another topic, our friend Lydia, was denied protection orders for Flim Flam. And the only thing I know is that if you request something, the court has no right to deny you your request of something that's going to protect you. You don't need proof. You just have to have the fear in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so she's going through her thing. But again, Lydia's will be knocking down doors pretty soon. And a lot of people going down with her case, which is a damn shame that she had to go out and do all this stuff. And it's so simple. As you said in the past, if law was meant to be served...
Her case, she's not in the federal courts, is she?
She's stepping into the federal courts now.
Okay, she's got to be very careful with her jurisdiction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very careful. I want to tell you, it's treacherous there if you don't know your jurisdiction. Jurisdiction changes like the weather in federal courts. I mean, you one day you're here, and the next day you're over there, and you don't even realize it. Okay, you have to understand jurisdiction. You have to see it. You have to smell it. You have to feel it. You got to taste it. You got to know it, and that's the only way you'll have a success in federal court. And you see, I think we've been trained well enough in that area. That's why I think this is the solution to our problem at this point, which we have no other. We have no choice. We had to go there. We don't want to waste the time in the state court anymore. We see what they're doing. We've done it in two counties, and we know what they've done.
Right.
And so, you know.
They're SOBs and we'll serve them well.
Yeah, I think that they think, I'll tell you what, I think that they think that we were going to file another case in another county and we were going to sue the judge from a different case, from a different number in a different county and get it through there. And then that judge would have came out to try to get us for contempt or something. I think that's, you know, if they know, if they watch what we've been doing, they would have seen that we might. That's something we might have done. That's why I think we needed to stay. We're done with the state, and move on.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you're smart. You're a smart cookie there, and you're doing a fantastic job for us. And I appreciate it. And everyone in New Jersey and the rest of the country appreciates your diligence.
Well, it's the people. We have to work together, so it's all of us. All right, let me go to the next caller because...
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason.
All right, God bless.
All right, you too. Next caller, 239 area code. 239. Wireless.
John?
Call. Yes.
Hey, it's John from Florida. How are you, bud?
Hey, how you doing, John from Florida?
Okay, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to enlighten you on... I know when you file the papers... I know you're given 20 days. I wasn't sure if you had considered Memorial Day in there. That may screw up the timeline.
No. Every day it's calendar days, period. It doesn't even matter if it's Christmas, you count it. But you have to be careful with the grace time, you know, because we're using the mail. I talked with Mike about the federal courts because I'm pretty sure I learned federal courts are 20 days, period, even if you do it through the mail. And I'm going to double-check that anyway because, you know, that's the way I think. But right now we're acting as if it's 20 days. We really don't need to give him that. We can give him 10 days. But, you know, I don't want that to be an excuse for a judge to play dumb and say, hey, you can't do it, and then, you know, hurt what we're doing and our plans, and everybody's planning to come on a certain date, and now we're going to move it again. So I just don't want to go through that. So... It's 20 days, that's what we're going to do. You know, we're where we're at because God wants us to be where we're at. You know, he'll get done whatever has to be done here. It's his will. You know, I got my mind and what I think should happen, but often it goes a different way, so it's his will, not mine. And I truly believe that I know he's in charge of all this anyway, but I believe it's for our benefit because all things work together for those who believe, for the good, for those who believe, so...
Absolutely. That's all I have. I don't want to take too much time. Go right ahead to the next person.
I'm sorry, I missed that last statement, John.
I said that's all I have. I don't want to take any more time. You can get to the next call.
All right, I'll yell at you later then, okay?
All right, bud.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, next caller, wireless caller, 716.
Hello, John. George out here in Stauffer County.
How you doing?
I just got a couple things I wanted to question. One thing was I've been reviewing your online, this fraud upon the court.
Uh-huh.
And right up in the first line there, it's a New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury, here and after the people, a.k.a. a court record.
Right.
Is that at that time that you go into a court, is that at the time you claim that as a court record, or is there actually a, let's say, a court or a procedure that's recognized already, or is this what?
Well, bear in mind,
there is
no court of record until the sovereign takes control of the court. Okay. Other than until then, it's not a court of record. So until the grand jury makes the indictment and participates in that process of the indictment and passes it on and delivers all the information to the jury, it becomes a court of record the moment the indictment starts. Now it's a court of record because the people have spoken. That's the legal process. When they pass it on to the jury, it continues to be a court of record. That's why in this particular paper I wrote, you got to understand a court, the definition of a court is the sovereign and his suit and his entourage, you know, so all of his witnesses. That's the court, okay? It's people are the court. When you go to sue a lower court, you're not suing the building or the institution. You're suing the judge and all of the officers of that court. The judge is an officer of the court. All of the lawyers in that court is the officers of the court. The bailiff or the sheriff, whoever's in the court is bailiffs here in New York. They're the officer. They're an officer of the court. The stenographer is not an officer of the court. The secretary that's usually below the judge taking the paperwork and the clerk and doing all that stuff, I don't believe they're an officer of the court. But those are the officers of the court. So when a higher court, a court of record, are the people, sue a lower court, a court not of record, the officers of the court, you're suing the people. Again, you're not suing the institution. So that's why in this particular paper, I put New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury, here and after the people, also known as a court of record. We make it the court of record. That's the point of that conclusion. This has come against the individuals, Raymond Elliott and Terrence Kindle, also known as a court not of record. You see, that's the people. For conspiracy against rights, and we've got footnotes, deprivation of rights under the color of law, conspiracy to interfere with civil rights, neglect to prevent, misprision of treason, conspiracy in acting under the color of law to commit felony rescue of Holly Tanner, Richard McAbee, and all these other names right down to Prudente. On April 18, 2014, Magistrate Raymond E. Elliott, acting under the color of law of his own will, sua sponte, claimed to be a court and seized jurisdiction after the Superior Court of Record by writ of prohibition forbidden him from doing so. When a sovereign people by fraud are brought before a neus prius court acting under corporate charter, when no such authority without their consent has been willed, the pretense of law and pretense of law, such a court acts under color of law, and all the officers of that court are subject to collateral attack in a court of record. See Memorandum of Law, Jurisdiction, and lines, particularly 251 through 254. And, of course, we have tremendous amounts of footnotes. I love footnotes because it really defines this. So half a page of footnotes. Furthermore, no legislators have given the authority to create such a hybrid corporation and then write charters that defraud the government ordained by the people in order to defraud the people. Now, this particular document has something in here very important, and that is the fact that no legislators have been given the authority to create such a hybrid corporation, and yet they have, and then write a charter that defrauds the government ordained by the people, and they have. Now this fits in. This is like a puzzle that fits into the original paper that we started this, which was the Quaranto. because if you carefully read in that, we're tying in the state here, and that's for future use. That's not for now. And for those who understand what I'm talking about, we need not talk about it anymore until we do it.
Yeah. But is there any date of when the actual last court of record was had convened, or was there ever one?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It has been a while. I don't know. There may be states in different places where these courts of record have been, and maybe 20 years ago or 30, maybe I doubt today. But you know, as far as I know, in my lifetime, I'm not aware of any. So in the last 60, 70 years, there probably has not been a real court of record. Look at when Lysander Spooner wrote his paper back in 1852. He was concerned that there really wasn't a true court of record in America. Okay? Now, I think he was kind of right and kind of wrong. You see, he was right because they had already created the fiction, and they were operating in courts of fiction that was taken over. But they had not completely taken over yet. So, but even though there was the fiction that had kind of taken over, was in the process of taking over, nevertheless, the belief of the people and the government was still there, and the people elected thought they were the government, except for the enemies who knew they wouldn't, you know, and the majority of the process was really there. So you got a lot of cases that took place, I think most cases back then, took place with the people in mind and making the decision. And they did not really hijack completely the juries back then. They understood jury nullification. They understood certain things, and they reacted. It wasn't really until as we moved into the 20th century when they started to take hold of the education, particularly in the early part of the 20th century. By the time we came into the 30s, they had control of our education, and it was just getting worse. Decade by decade, it just got worse and worse and worse. So, you know, who can say where what? But if you study the Lysander Spooner's Trial by Jury, his essay, which again is part of our course, when you really study and look through that, you can see the struggle between good and evil. You can see the struggle that took place, and we almost lost it and we caught it back. You know, it's kind of amazing that the system was able to continue and be brought all the way up to history, right to, and we still have access to it. And not only do we have access, we have knowledge of it through Lysander Spooner's and others. You know, there's another guy who did it from a different perspective. Lysander Spooner wrote of common law from the perspective of the jury, whereas this other guy that wrote a book, his name was Brent Winters, wrote a book on common law, and he did it from the perspective of the king. Okay, and when you listen to Bill Thornton, he teaches common law from the perspective of the king, okay, where Lysander Spooner is pushing it from the perspective of the people through the jury, and both is correct. Bear in mind, but it's an interesting thing because the puzzles fit together beautifully when you work through those two studies. Now the guy Brent Winters. He was an attorney or a lawyer. He studied law. Apparently, he didn't believe what he learned in school because he was a real renegade as far as that was concerned. You read his book and you say, wow, this guy did his homework. And he was a guy that loved footnotes. As a matter of fact, I learned a lot from reading that book on footnotes. He really loved footnotes because that means the guy did his homework. That means he's backed every word, every phrase, everything he says. When you read through that book, Common Law, literally half the page is footnotes and the other half is the book. Sometimes a third of the page is the book and two-thirds of the page is the footnotes. See, that's a book with a guy who did research, and you can kind of really trust a lot what he had to say.
Yeah, he passed that research on to people in his book, which is the knot that tied the common sense of what he was saying to the actual actions of the court systems and of what the people were doing.
Well, Lysander Spooner was an expert in that. He's the kind of a teacher, and I call him a teacher. He's the kind of a teacher that gives all sides, and you got to be careful because you may be starting to agree with him, and it's the wrong side he's giving you. But he'll give you all sides. And then he'll show you what the right side is through pure logic, and he's just so good at it. He's that's his gift, you know.
I don't want to tie up a lot of the time because other people, I'm sure, want to talk. I just wanted anybody who was listening here, I wanted them, you know, to realize that I spent some time in the court listening to a case here recently, and I observed the jury quite a bit, and I could basically watch the jury walk out, and they had one person that had it tied up, so it would have been a hung jury if this one person had just stuck to his guns. And I could read the people going out as they were going out, their disgust. So that when you had three people that had a look of disgust on their face, you could tell which way that was going, okay? There was three people against one, okay, which means that one person had tied up the other 11, and three of them were body language was making that statement. So I knew what their situation was as soon as they left the box. I couldn't pick out the one that was against them, fighting for the for his position on his what he believed. I couldn't pick him out, but I could pick out three that were disgusted with it, which.
Mm-hmm.
I knew when they came back, if they finally made a decision, I knew that they had overrun this one guy, and of course the judgment went against the plaintiff, and it was a Second Amendment right, okay, mm-hmm. and it wasn't handled properly. But I just wanted the people that are listening to know that when these juries are picked like that, these are not volunteer people. That are interested in justice. They're selected because they either know something about the law or they don't know anything about the law. And
they do a psychological on every person. They filter them through questionnaires. How dare they do that? These are choice select people. They're chosen for sometimes for the case itself, very, very, very particular. It's sickening. It's so sickening.
Lysander
Spooner lays that problem out very clearly.
Right. Yeah. So we definitely are. I mean, we're on the right road. We're on the paved road that goes to to this. Now, whether somebody's going to wash the bridges out in front of us, that's another thing. Just one more thing I just wanted to say was I wanted to thank Lil from, she's a Columbia County state organizer.
Yep.
And I got the information. I would pass it on to anybody that might be interested. I got the seal for Chautauqua County out here. And she gave me the name of this, and if anybody would want to write this information down, in case they haven't been able to get the seal. The price was right. It was like $32 delivered, which is cheaper than any place I've seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from the Corporate Connection, if it's all right for me to say this.
Yeah,
And they're at
just make sure whenever anybody buys the seal that they look at the seals, how we've laid it out. The wording is extremely important. It must have the word seal on it. And it's got to have your state and your county, and also we have the Latin in the center and the date in the center. All of this is very important. You'll get an example on the site, but go ahead.
Yeah, and this site, when you get on their website, it's very clear about how it should be, stated on there. It's mine was Chautauqua County. New York's grand jury seal,
mm-hmm.
and then the
natural law by the grace of God in Latin.
In Latin, yes, and
then 1215 in the center for the Magna Carta.
Absolutely, that's just exactly the way. And on the site, it shows you exactly how to lay it out. You just put your own county and own words in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's from the Corporate Connection. 128 Margin Street, Margin Street, Salem, Massachusetts, 01970. They have a area code as 978-744-1051. And their fax is the same area code, 745-3311. And I'm sure if you do a Google search for the Corporate Connection, you can get right on their site, and it's very easy. If I can do it, just about anybody can do it. So, and I was
all right. I appreciate that. And if anybody wants to hear that again, they just need to get the audio after this and just wind back to
it. For sure. No.
Also, we have information on Staples. It's a few bucks more, but you can get it through Staples. Okay,
yes,
let me move
okay.
on to the next caller.
Okay.
It's getting late.
Yep. Thank you very much. And,
thank you.
Godspeed. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, 401, you were on before. I guess you dropped. You wasn't here. Now you're on again, 401-788.
Hey, John. Steve from Rhode Island. Just wanted
hey,
to thank
you.
Hey, good. How are you, John?
Did you get that problem fixed?
That's why I'm calling. Just wanted to thank you for it. It's all set.
Okay. What was
and
the problem?
I have one little glitch. I asked the technical guy to take care of it about emailing the list.
Okay.
I switched to Linux. I'm using Ubuntu Linux now. I'm a real techie now. Woohoo.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going Linux too. Well, I know I'm going to go Linux. I've got to find the time to do it. Linux and then Wine, and then put Windows inside of Wine. It becomes a virtual machine. Windows 7, and then inside in Windows 7, Windows XP. And you're supposed to be pretty well insulated from being seen on the Internet through that process. So we're looking into that. And once we can kind of lay that out and know that we've done it, a few of us, and feel comfortable, then we'll put the information out for others to do the same to get more security on your machine so that you can't come in and make it turn it into a brick, you know? So anything else?
No, that's it. Just have a great night, and thanks for everything.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling. All right, let me go to the next caller, moving right along. Sarah.
Hi, John.
How you
doing? Just wanted to ask a couple of quick updates. Just where do you think we're holding with the jury handbooks so that we can get those out
okay.
and about?
I believe the jury handbooks will be ordered by the end of the week. We don't have enough ordered yet to get it, but we do have some money coming in, so we're going to use some of that money to get that order. So we'll get that out. So anybody wants jury handbooks, please, you know, the more we can sell, the we can keep the price down and even get it cheaper. So, you know, 65 cents is pretty darn good, I want to tell you. That's delivered, by the way. Which is you have to buy a minimum of 100, which is $65 per 100, but that includes everything, not a penny more than 65, and it's delivered to wherever you want it delivered. And when we were looking in, it took us a long time to get someone to run, to do this for us, because we were literally getting prices $2 a book, and we just couldn't get it down much more than that. But I knew there were places that do it a lot cheaper. We did find a place, and they've given us a very good price. And they see the potential of our business also, so that's another reason why they probably gave us a pretty good price without having to buy a million of them, you know what I mean? But we do need to get more orders in so we can not take the money that we're coming in for other things and use it for this. We're going to do that, but we'll be using this money, which should be going to other things too, but this is as important also, so we need to get this going. So I think by the end of the week, the order will go through. I'm presuming it's going to take them a week to get production and get them delivered to us here in New York, and then we'll ship from New York, which will take probably another 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, 2 days, 3 days, depending on where you are in the country. So and we're going to use UPS, I believe, for shipping. So
okay.
it should go pretty good.
What I might do is...
I think about 2 weeks they'll be delivered, maybe. The delivery should start
okay.
going through.
What I might do is put in another order for 100 by next week.
Mm-hmm.
I already ordered 200, but I might put in another order for another 100 just to make sure I have.
Right. Yeah, this is so important. I know money's tight, but if you want to invest in freedom, this is it. This is what you should have with you at all times. Any, you go to any meeting, you start handing out these Juris books. Potentially the people, everyone need this, because especially if someone's going to sit on the jury, they open that book up and start looking to see what the jury book is. And a lot of people, when they see things in print, they believe it. And we want them to believe this because this is the truth. It's not the lie, okay? I've seen Juris books that is garbage. I'll use them for kindling, you know, in my fireplace, because I'm certainly not going to give them to other people. Yeah.
Well, please also give people a chance to look up the notations and references and do their due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because we're handing it to them, they should also be doing their due diligence.
Right.
And pursue further. There's so much information that we've had hidden for years, and we really have to take it out and start using it, knowing it, that kind of thing. Because I'm seeing more and more horrendous, things in these admiralty courts that it's just shocking what people are even agreeing to, because somehow they believe
what they're doing. These admiralty courts, I think you could call the federal courts admiralty courts. The state courts are pretty much they are chancery courts, and they do use admiralty law. When they do the rem, the state, whenever the state does what's called in rem, they always blow it. It's 100% illegal. They're not even, they have no clue on how to really do it. They really don't. And so when the state takes a property away from you in rem, you could pull into the federal court and win that like that. You really can if you understand what's going on there. But I don't want to get into that discussion right now. And we do a lot of people.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. The other question I had was, you used to have the breaking news, and
we still have it. Yep.
Okay, because I don't see it under news anymore.
Yeah, if you just highlight news, you'll see breaking news. But if you click news, that is breaking news page too. It brings you to the breaking news page.
Okay, because when I highlight news, it has blog and today's issues. When I go on today's issues, it's got county sheriff health issues. Poison,
right.
Secret.
Well, what's all the way on the blue line, all the way on the right, what's there? Is it states or jurist?
Today's issues?
No. Go welcome, political news, all the way to the end. Does it say, is states the last thing you see or jurist?
Jurist.
Okay, so you are logged in. I don't know why you're not seeing it. When I highlight news, I see breaking news, radio interviews, memos to sheriff, blog, and today's issues.
Yeah, I don't have breaking news, so for some reason it's not showing up.
Well, it should be. We'll be working on the site this week. I'll bring that up to them. But if you click on news, just click on the tab news itself. That's the same page as breaking news.
Okay, let me see if that happens, because I like keeping on top of what's happening. So I think it's coming up because it says breaking news at the top. Very good.
That's it. And I'll be posting a lot of stuff up there soon, and we'll be posting up the latest paperwork from the federal court. We'll be posting up the latest letter we sent out to Utah. There's also some other papers that we had sent into the courts that they had sent back that will be also going up to the federal court. So we may not post that on the state as if it went to the state court and returned. We may just include that into the federal court stuff. But we have a lot of papers that will be posted on that. It'll be good reads, and anybody really that's studying and learning and trying to figure out how to do these things. By reading these papers, you will learn how to write a case. And it gives you structure. It gives you a lot of content, the footnotes, everything. Lots of stuff. So.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's take our next caller. Let's see. 518. You got the line. 518-382.
Hello, John. This is Jeff Gall in
how you doing,
New York.
Jeff?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Actually, I started out with only two things. I'm just going to say, a few things very, very quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
I just really want to just reiterate for everyone that's listening. John had mentioned earlier that we have approximately 200 sheriffs in the country that are 200 positions that are not, that are not occupied by sheriffs as they're
legally supposed to be. I would take a gamble to say, just for general purposes, half of them are positions that are not filled, and the other half are people that just don't have email. Okay, I can't believe a sheriff or any political individual is out there and doesn't have an email address.
Well, I mean, I know, for example, in New York State, I mean, down in the New York City area, there are, I think, there's one tapped person that's politically appointed that's acting illegally as a sheriff for several different counties.
Yeah, he's a corporate cop.
And, we have, if the number is 200, I mean, that is a serious problem for all of us, and we need to, to really be concerned about that and address that. That's a growing problem.
It's not too bad when you consider we're looking at 3,142 counties and therefore potentially 3,142 sheriffs. Connecticut has no sheriffs. There's 8 counties there. They took them away not long ago. I got some information on how they lost it. I read their constitution. And they got a problem, and they also are dismantling the counties. I think they've already done that in Connecticut. But they have a major problem once the grand jury gets in play, because we're going to bring that back like that. It's not going to be no problem at all. Everything that was done to get rid of the sheriff was totally illegal. The Constitution, the Connecticut Constitution requires the sheriff to be elected, period, end of subject. That's constitutional. The way they got rid of it was totally illegal. Same problem in New York. We got 7 counties. Well, let me tell you, it says right in our New York Constitution, the same thing. Sheriffs shall be elected.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
It's not there.
That's the
might
point.
Be or could be or whatever you want to do. No, shall be elected. The only the only power they gave to the legislators was you got the authority or the power to make that a 4-year term or a 6-year term. They left that to the legislators. That's all they left to them. Nothing more.
Right, right. Exactly.
And besides that, there is no lawful law enforcement agent. Well, I want to call agency. No law enforcement. Well, we'll call an agency for right now. There's no law enforcement agency if there is no sheriff, because any other police officer is not legal. They work for corporations. They work for somebody. They're politically controlled. They're appointed. The chief, for instance, the New York State Police, the superintendent of police, is appointed. He's appointed by the governor. He continues by the will of the governor. If the governor doesn't like him, he just gets rid of him. He doesn't have a reason. He just get rid of him. If the governor doesn't like the sheriff, he can't get rid of him. He can't fire the sheriff. He's got to find that he broke the law somewhere. Then he's got to send him to us with the jury once we get in. He's got to then send him to us for us to approve his getting rid of the sheriff, okay? So he's got a problem with an elected. And also, the sheriff, once he's really elected and we break him away from the political bull that's going on out there and he comes to work for the people directly, he's going to answer to the people and he's going to work for the people and he's going to know his job is tied up in his obedience to the people through the jury. That's what he's going to discover, because the jury can talk with the committeemen, because we're going to tie a very close relationship with the committeemen. That's the people also. And once we go to the committeemen and say, hey, look, this sheriff is a problem. You got to dump him. You need to find a better guy, And they're going to take that to heart, because we're going to free the committeeman once we get into power. We're going to free him back to where he was.
Right. Absolutely. Well, this is just a huge concern for me, that I believe that it's a growing effort. That's what people like, these anti-Americans that we know of out there, this is what they're trying to achieve. The other thing is that, please, everyone that's listening, I've heard several people say to John, I wish you luck with what you're doing, and things to that of that nature. Please, please, please think of this as our effort. This is not John's effort. We have to be united here. And so if we're going to wish John luck, we have to wish John luck for for us. I mean, I don't know how else to, you know, to characterize
Appreciate that. Yes, this is our effort, the people.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's now, so, you know, please, folks, please, you know, please just think about that thought process there. And my final question, John, and you don't necessarily have to answer it now, but you mentioned a little while ago about sovereignty and, you know, it takes control in criminal matters. I wonder if there's some differentiation that, you know, can be made for civil matters.
Common law, there's no differential between contract, civil matters, which is contract and things of that nature, and criminal. It's all one court, one system, that's it, period. That's common law. It deals with all of it. They don't break it to civil and criminal.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Great. That's all I have. I don't want to dominate here, but thanks, John.
Well, it's good to see you on the call.
Thanks. Well, I've been worried about you. I haven't been able to find, you know, what's been going on lately, I guess, and so.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we got that. I don't know if you're on the email list. You should be, but, you know, I sent out an email. We're doing things with sheriffs. We're doing so much here. We got a lot of things going here. Monday night calls is the place to come to get, keep up to date. Every Monday we give an update the first hour, and then the next 2 hours we do the open forum with an open conversation, anything people on people's minds. And, and it's so, so critical and important to participate with this. We do get a lot of people. We get about 300 people that come onto the call, every Monday night, 330. I think last week it was 333. And what we discover is which we don't have the ability to see right now, but we will be, but we used to have. We were discovering if we got 300 people on the call, about 600 or more was downloading. So we're guessing we're about 900 people listening in, which is good, but not good enough, because we have almost 3,000 people registered alone, but we have many more than that actually are following us and, you know, coming onto the website and listening and doing things, but they just haven't registered, and they're coming to our Monday night calls too. And some of those people are over in the meetup group and not necessarily registered here. So
there's
a lot of people.
John, I mean, you know, what you're saying, you know, this is to everyone that's listening. Please, folks, this is not John Durash's effort. This is our effort.
Right.
And, you know, we need to, you know, stand our ground. We need to speak up. We need to get loud. We need to get involved. And when we do, you know, we will take our country back. And it's, we can't wait for John Durash, because he can't do it without us. Please, people, please.
That's correct. Yep, and we're coming to Albany. By the end of the month, we're coming to Albany.
Cool.
Okay.
Have lunch.
Yep.
Thank you,
well,
sir.
Well, we will have lunch up there, so we'll find a place big enough to feed us, maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Talk to you later, Jeff.
Talk to you later.
Next call is anonymous. No number. Just says anonymous.
Oh, hello? Hello?
Hello,
John?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I forgot how to dial it. I couldn't dial it, that *6. And is it possible, John, to first ask you a question, and then I will tell you something very, very important that I learned.
Yeah, John, we're getting ready to send that verified action at law, and we added a lot of defendants there, and judges and whatnot, and just didn't know, you know, normally you go to court, you have to ask the judge to add defendants, blah, blah, blah.
Ah, no, that's the end game. You do what you got to do. You got wronged, and you got to get those wrongdoers. You put them in there, including the judges. Now, they're going to play games with it, maybe. Not so much in the city. I tell you what, I was surprised in the city, Brooklyn, they dropped right away. Okay, up here, these judges get a little wacky. I don't know. But don't worry about that, because if they give you a hard time, you immediately take it to the federal courts. You have a federal thing there. We'll talk about that later after we see what happens.
Get
the paperwork to me, and I'll take a look at it before you send it out.
How do I serve them?
You can serve them through the mail, certified return slip, but you have to have someone else drop it in the mail make sure it's certified return, and you're going to have someone else drop it in the mail, then they do a certificate of service.
So even though these people have never seen this, them being named as defendants, that can still be the way we do it.
Absolutely. You know, in New York, you can serve by mail, but you want to overkill it. You want certified, you want return receipt, you know, the green card, and you need someone else to stick it in and swear that they put it into the post office and that they saw what went in, and they, you know, you're going to write on that paper, that affidavit, that these are the items that were in there. Okay, and so your memorandum of law, the case law, and all this stuff, whatever memorandums we wrote. And then you need, of course, the main paper, and then it gets mailed to everyone. And you give them 30 days. You want to do, remember, you I think we're shifting your whole case around a bit. I don't remember, but I'll let you know once I look at it whether you need to do a summons. Well, anybody added or new, you got a summons then, that's for sure.
But basically, when we put it on the case that we were plaintiff, we're putting this action on that case. That's the case number, the end.
Right. And how many people were you suing before?
It was just...
Just two.
Yeah, two, three.
Okay. So you don't have to send a summons to those. You do have to send the everything you send everyone else, you got to send to them. But everyone else, you got to send a summons now.
Okay.
Because they're brand new. Don't forget
okay.
to do that. And
okay.
so they have to be summoned into the case. You got to give them 30 days to respond, and you got to give them grace period. So if you mail it on Tuesday, don't start counting your days till Thursday. So from Thursday, you can count Thursday as day one, and you count your 30 days. And then, you know, then after that, when you get to the 31st day, that's when you can start writing your papers for default if they defaulted.
Okay. And... basically,
no matter
this,
what they do.
This action is, how does it work? I mean, we're going to have a hearing. This action does what?
Well, what you should do is give me a call.
Okay.
And we can get into that. Get the paperwork to me if you finished off, and I'll go through it. I'm pretty familiar with everything in there except for, and we'll see what you added. Today's what? Monday. I'm looking on my calendar. Tomorrow, I'm done. Thursday, I'm done. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I just have no time to move or do anything other than what I'm doing. Friday, if you want to call me late morning, early afternoon, we'll discuss those matters.
Uh-huh. Late morning, what time? 10 o'clock?
Yeah, 10, 11, somewhere around there.
Okay, John, we were trying to contact you last time, and since we were hunting for you, sort of.
Right. A lot of people were doing that. I think they were sending out the posse for me and everything. But you got to understand, we had a huge major change in what happened here and paperwork, and we were running around, and there's paper writing. And when I start to get involved with brainstorming these things and writing the papers, I shut my phones off. And no matter what I got going, this is what we're doing. Is this paperwork is the most important thing, so everything else is second to that. So no matter what I'm doing, that just gets cut off, and I'm working. So I know a lot of people over the past week had a hard time getting me, but sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm. John, I have to tell to you and to everyone something very, very important that we uncovered. And people should know that this happening. Maybe not everybody from New York City, but what's happening, Mayor Bloomberg, actually, why we are in this situation? We always were wondering why, because we are innocent homeowners. Our property getting extorted, and no law enforcement will help us. But they will just opposite. They falsely arrest us. And FBI at first said it's their case, and then said we have to be on our own. And when they said that, I asked them how on the taxpayers' money you feel, they say, feel sorry for you, but you're on your own. We couldn't understand that nonsense. And finally, we find something which absolutely backs it up. Bloomberg in 2006 created the mayor's office, special enforcement, and that includes all those agencies, Department of Building, Department of Investigation, NYPD, Fire Department, and others, city agencies. So when we thought that our criminal is bribing them all, it's not true. They all under one command. Then we learn more, and you know, our hair on the head starts standing up from horror that we learn, because what happened? Bloomberg named us innocent homeowners who create all this group, and practically also this group is supported by criminal justice coordinator, and hold that thing called New York City Criminal Justice Agency. So they are connected to the criminal in civil courts as well, and we saw our criminal calling, then judge stops the court, going to chambers, pick up call, and coming out telling us that she's going to rule against the law, and also that no attorney will help us. So we spent all that money for the attorneys when they knew up front that nobody's going to help us. Practically, they took us off from being protected by penal law, by federal law, by constitution. Also, they all this law enforcement under their jurisdiction, including federal, they actually funding the federal law enforcement in New York City, meaning FBI and U.S. attorneys. So truly, nobody can help us, because how they took us out of the being protected under the law, under constitution, under civil and basic human rights. How that happened, and how this criminal became immune. He committed crime against us, severe. He was trying to put us in jail for 7 years. He gave a statement in the criminal court that we did commit that crime, which we never did. So he should be in jail at least for 5 years by New York State penal law. That's what they...
Right, but you got to realize, though, you're in a chancery court. And in a chancery court, the judge can make the law from the bench. And that's what's going on. And so you're in chancery court, it's statutory, and they got control. Some judges take more control than other judges. And
that coordinator, criminal court coordinator, you know how that criminal called? He called an actor for the justice, and we called quality life offenders. Can you believe they destroyed us financially? They destroyed our health. They destroyed all our life. He's the quality life offender. But
well,
Bloomberg,
you're going to be able to get all this back, okay, once you file the next paperwork. And then from there, you'd be got to be ready to move it to the federal courts, because I think that's what's going to have to happen. Either that, or they'll make some deals with you to get rid of you. But
yes,
one
more thing I wanted to. We have three other families in the same situation as we are, and not only that, in their case, they're demanding their property and money like we are, would be twins, you know. And also, what's the horror is, all of us, the name of that the quality of life offenders, chronic offenders, and also in their cases, it's a foreigner criminals like that Estonian, because our person, he has no social security number. He shares it with an American woman. Probably they caught him on immigration law, and they ask him to do this favor, because non-American person, no foreigner normal person will do that kind of crime, beat up the person who own adjoining lot, vandalize his property, threatening his life, even though they promised to him immunity. No person will agree to that unless he is criminal.
Well, yeah, again, you know, you're up against organized crime down there, and you're going to have to end up probably taking it to the federal courts. You got a good case for the feds, but we'll see what happens after you file the papers, and you'll be ready to go to the feds right from there. We'll set you up with the form and everything and a cover sheet, and you move everything over. But anyway, I got to move on, because we just passed 12 midnight here in New York, and we got two more callers I'm going to get to before we close down. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and I'll talk with you all on Friday, and we'll get into the issues. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So
okay.
Much.
Next caller is 850-951, and we have one more after that. 850-951. Go right ahead.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I didn't know if I was unmuted or not. I got dropped once, and when I dialed back in, I did not get a message saying I was muted. So I hit star 6. Next thing you know, I'm in the queue. So
right.
I want to apologize for that, but also I want to thank you a lot for making the NLA website available and for all the information you've put on it. There's a college education for anyone that wants to pursue it.
Yeah, what we have here on National Liberty Alliance is a real, true education. The education we should have had in school. This is it, right here.
And it should be mandatory for graduation from high school.
We will go. Well, look, we will do it, and it'll be graduation from 9th grade or 8th grade, because that's all the schooling we really need is 8 grades. And unless you're going to become a doctor or something, then you need that extra schooling. But basically, they waste so much time in school. And I know this for a fact because my children are homeschooled, and the curriculum that we do is what's required by the state. But we were able to get certain changes because we're Christians. We did Christian curriculums, which is a little more harder and a little more work. Nevertheless, my children got through it in a couple hours a day, and they it was very. And I talk to other homeschoolers the same way. You know, we send our kids to school. And they're there, you know, they go in, they leave the house early in the morning, they get back at 3:30 or 3 o'clock or something like that. They're in school 6 or 7 hours or whatever it is, and they don't get any whiz in education you get from a homeschooler, which only goes to school for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Okay, they're through the work, and, you know, and they can get, and my kids finish school early, you know, years early. But the thing is that you can give a real education. If you're going to send children to school for 6 hours a day, you should easily be able to have total graduation by the time they get to the 8th grade, and they should know everything that we got on our website as far as our courses are concerned, and of course, the basics, building blocks of education, you know, the mathematics, your numbers, your ABCs, reading and writing, and so on. So it should easily be done. It was done. Okay, we have a test that we hand out whenever we do anything live. You know, we go out and do a presentation on anything. We always hand out an 8th grade test from 1895, Kansas, out of Kansas, and believe me, it's a college education. Which is the last. You know, it's an 8th grade test for graduation. It's a college education.
Yes, and I'm 67 years old, so I grew up in a time when such sayings as a man's home is his castle, and you can't sign away your rights, and a man's word is his bond. If his word is worthless, the man is worthless, and none of that is taught anymore.
They teach them how to have homosexual relationships. They encourage it. They teach them how to be a good slave and go through checkpoints. They tell children going to school, they're trained to empty their pockets, their pocketbooks. They do something wrong or even try to get help with a drug problem or something, they put those little ties on them behind their hands and they call the cops. It's a mess. Our schools are a mess.
You can say that again. And considering the state our schools are in, I think anywhere from 2 to 4 hours a day homeschooling in addition and in contradiction to what they're being taught at school is absolutely necessary. Now, my youngest is close to 40 years old, so that's all out of my hands now. But fortunately,
you got grandkids, huh?
yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Matter of fact, I've got one, I think, that's trying to make me a great-grandfather, but I'm not sure. They're teaching progressivism. Progressivism is nothing but Marxism.
We're going to change all this. Look, when the grand jury, when we the people get in to control the juries and as the administrators and straighten up the mess around, we're going to straighten up the schools. We're going to get local. We're going to get back to the committeeman process and talk about that and make a connection between the people that are running the committeeman process and the people that are running the jurist process. And we're going to educate right from each election district We're going to get campaigns going to get these booklets out to every person in the election district, and we use the committee men to do that. That's their job, is to work with the people in that fashion. And we're going to get, statesmen, people, good people that aren't criminals running for office. And if a criminal gets in, that's okay, because we'll be watching them like a hawk. So.
Okay, well, let's just keep on pushing, John. Just keep on pushing. You got to be 10% more stubborn than the problem is. That's all.
Okay. All right, let me go to the last caller. It's late, so. Thanks
all right.
for calling. We'll talk to you next week, Lord. Well, and remember, everybody, bring more people. We got one more caller left.
Well, why you still got? I didn't figure out a way to either mute myself or get myself out of the queue. Is there a way to do that?
Well, when I hit the button, you're going to be gone, and you'll be muted.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking about future use. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, next time, you come in to get in. To unmute yourself, it's *6, and to come into the queue, it's *1. So you hit *6 to unmute, and then *1 after that. And then you come into the queue, which means you're ready to be unmuted, but you're not really. You know, I've got to test this. Maybe just hitting *1 might get you into the queue. We've got to find that out.
Well, I was more interested in how to get back out of it if I got into it by mistake.
Oh, well, I think hitting *6 would have taken you out.
Okay, well,
I'm not
think
sure,
that works either. I tried it once.
Okay, let me take the last caller. It's getting late, and take it from there. Thanks. All right. Last caller, 386-761.
Hello, John. This is Eileen from Florida.
How you doing, Irene? Irene or Eileen?
Eileen.
Eileen.
With an L.
Okay, how you doing? Eileen.
Yes.
Yeah.
My question is, I heard you mention earlier about something that's happening in July, and I was wondering if you could give me a little bit more of an indication of what you meant by that.
Yeah, the end of the world. Well, there's talk that July is the focus for the pulling of the plug. But believe me, there's been a lot of talk of that over the years, and last year there was two different dates, and they moved it, and then they moved it into the summer of this year, and I heard July is it. When in July, I don't know. But that doesn't really mean that's going to happen. And they're trying to pull the plug, but there's things they haven't done yet. They haven't gotten us back into a war yet. They haven't gotten our guns away from yet. They're frustrated. Okay, and there's a few other things they need to work on. But on the other hand, they're being put into a corner, and there's nothing worse than a rat in a corner, you know, and they need to escape, so they'll do anything. So, you know, they may just pull the plug because they got to, and that could be good for us, and it could be bad for us. It's bad for us because we don't want the plug to be pulled, but it could be good if they do it prematurely because they're not ready, and that makes them one more chance of our possibility of winning in that kind of a battle, which we don't want to enter into. We want to go the peaceful way. That's why what we're doing is so important, and we have no more time left, people. We've got to get out there and get these counties done. Come on, let's do it. And anybody that can send in $5 a month or $10 a month, just get onto that thing. Hit the donation button and hit on a monthly payment to $5 a month. You'll not even miss it. But believe me, that $5 will make huge difference. If everyone's doing that, it's a huge difference right here for being able to pay the bills and keep things going. So, and also upgrade the website. We want to do a lot more security, which we're going to be doing some more security this next time around also. But, anyway, anything else?
No, I think that's it. Okay.
Okay, great.
Appreciate it.
All right, so we're done. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And, Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And we'll get some emails out on different things that are happening. We'll post the papers as soon as we can. We'll post the date as soon as we can. We'll confirm it by next Monday, I think. And we'll take it from there. We'll get ready for the next step. But meanwhile, I want to tell you one more time, the opportunity for what's happening to New York to move across this nation light speed is huge. I mean, it's really huge. We win this battle, and I perceive we're going to win it. It's going to be huge for every single state. Trust me. There's things I didn't realize, and I just came to realize them now the last few days. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. So we're going to be caught if your counties aren't constituted. You get your job done. That's your job right now. Get your counties constituted, organize, and get into these courses and get ready. Okay? That's what we need to do. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next time.